gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 61 for New Comic Book Day, June 21st, 2017. I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting here along with me in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hey, guys, I'm happy to be back.
So, Vern, how are you doing?
Really good. We have an exciting week of news.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that just came out within the last, 48 hours.
Yeah, and we just got a couple, an hour ago.
Yeah, so, but before we get into all the news, we mentioned, I believe it was last week, that we lost Adam West.
We did, sadly.
Last week, sadly. But there's been some really cool tributes put out to him this week.
Yeah, and we also got bat signal in LA.
That's one of the ones I was talking about. The city of Los Angeles actually created a bat signal and flew the bat signal one night in honor of Adam West.
And it was the classic Adam West 66 bat logo.
Yeah. So that was awesome. Also, NBC, we know, canceled Powerless.
Yeah.
Which we were sad about here because it was actually getting better as it went.
And went on. It wasn't nothing I could see so why some people lost interest, but if you kept watching after each episode, you would get more intrigued by it.
Exactly.
But I don't think anybody really gave it too much of a chance after maybe the first two episodes, sadly.
Well, we know that the rest of the season was filmed, and we're hoping that at some point they would put it out, but we did hear that Adam West was scheduled to be on the show, and they had finished his episode, but it never got a chance to air it because the show was canceled before they got a chance to put it out there. But if you go to YouTube right now, to DC Entertainment's YouTube page, and find that you can actually watch the Adam West episode of Powerless is up there in tribute to Adam West.
I don't know about as of today, but yesterday was a recent upload, and it was the first thing that popped up for me.
It was within the first couple of videos, because I watched it this afternoon before we got ready to record.
Okay. I watched before I headed out and did all my Father's Day events yesterday.
Ah, okay. It was a pretty good episode. It was Adam West was definitely playing around with the campiness of what he was known for in DC Comics.
It was Adam West being Adam West.
Exactly. And that's the one thing we talked about on Geek Watch 1. We talked about it here that Adam West was not a guy that took himself too serious.
No, he didn't.
So
he always had fun with whatever he was doing.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to be serious, but you can also have fun with being serious.
I mean, he was basically breaking the fourth wall the whole time.
Yeah.
Talking about, wow, this is just a, talking about how his part in this was just a quick cameo. There was another part where he's describing, all this bad stuff's happened to them. Let's see you'll have to wait next week. You'll get to see what happened.
And he came from Gotham.
Yes, he came from Gotham. He was actually, it wasn't Adam West, but West was his last name, and he was the CEO of Wayne Financial, or Wayne Tech.
Which made sense, because he was a Wayne at one point in his life.
Yeah.
When he said, I'm coming from Gotham, I said, you know, that's enough for me right there to just get me interested in watching this whole show.
Oh, yeah. So this was a great episode. Hopefully we get to see the rest of the show, but
yeah, somewhere on the internet, please put it out there. Hey, we can get it on The Seed, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Well, CWC is a perfect place for it, but more than likely it'll be on one of the NBC's apps or something.
It still is.
I've not checked the NBC app. Maybe the rest of the episodes are up there.
Could be. I haven't even checked it out.
So I'll have to look. But talking more TV other than that, did you have anything else? We do have some news for everybody that watches us on Facebook Live.
They've heard this already. This is
for
everybody for the podcast.
But we're, as of our first episode in July, I'm not sure what date it's going to be because you guys who've checked us out while we're recording, you never know during the weekend when we're going to actually get this recorded. It depends on our schedules.
We will
stuff.
Get up in the week, but we don't know what day.
Exactly. But we are going to be switching from Facebook Live to YouTube Live, just thinking that we might be able to get some even more watchers and listeners on there. And then also that on YouTube, it'll stay up there on our YouTube channel
forever.
Indefinitely.
Until we delete it.
So at any point, you can come back and watch one of these episodes we've done on YouTube Live.
But to dive into a little bit more of TV news. Now, this is a maybe, guys, but it is in the works. They're talking about the Static Shock maybe appearing in the Arrowverse.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Now, when I say the Arrowverse, has it been confirmed yet that Black Lightning will always be connected to the Arrowverse, but with it being on the CW and everything else that's been happening, it's more than likely going to be connected.
Yeah, being that it's a Greg Berlanti series, I'm thinking this is going to be on one of the multiple Earths.
I do too.
So it's going to be like Earth 47 or something, I don't know.
I mean, how you guys would see Barry jump from city to city. Mm-hmm. He would go to Star City whenever he wanted to. Well, now we have Vibe, where I can go from Supergirl's living room from Star Labs.
Yeah, Vibe can actually open portals to different worlds.
So there could be potential of doing that now. But Static is going to be might be coming to Black Lightning, and he would be apprentice to Black Lightning as Wally West, Kid Flash on the Flash show right now is to Barry.
Yeah.
Even though he has his daughters that have the same powers as really he does, but they haven't tapped into it yet. Static could be the one that tapped into is now he's a teenager going around fighting all the crime, and then he needs somebody to teach him how to work his powers, and who else better to do it than Black Lightning?
Exactly, because we know in this that Black Lightning is going to be an older Black Lightning who's who's actually been retired for like 10, 15 years.
Right. So he's had experience.
Yeah.
He is a father figure to, seems like going to be a father figure to a couple of these young kids.
He's going to be a father figure to many people because he's also a school principal. He's like principal of the year and stuff.
And this is why crime has increased, because he's been helping people in another way.
Yeah, he's not been actually fighting
crime.
Crime-fighting way.
But yeah, this was the big news that broke. Now, if you guys know, Stag Shock was a TV show that came back out in the early 2000s along with the Justice League and the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
So if that rings a bell to you guys, that's why it used to appear on, what was it called back then? It wasn't the CW at the time. It was a Fox Kids.
Kids WB.
And also, you would come on Cartoon Network, too, since they had their whole deal.
Well, interesting thing is, this is not a DC original character.
No, he's not.
This was, what, Milestone Comics?
Just like Icon was.
Okay, Icon. Well, also, if you look, Grifter, that was brought in with the New 52, but has recently been put back into the Wildstorm, came from the Wildstorm imprint of Image.
Right, and they've done that recently, or not recently, they've been doing that for a while, same as actually Plastic Man wasn't a part of DC Comics.
Not originally, no.
Neil was Shazam.
No, Shazam was actually Fawcett Comics until DC finally bought him out.
So DC's known
At some point, we got to talk about Captain Marvel, because the history of Captain Marvel and Superman is very, very interesting. And a lot of legal battles back and forth.
If we're going to touch on that, we're going to also, I think, have to dab into our counterpart with that name of Marvel.
Yes.
That was a big issue, too, when DC got him. It was kind of like DC said, hey, we got him back. Now we don't have to worry about any legal troubles. Then Marvel's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. It's like, oh, no. So that's how why we wound up with Shazam.
I still don't understand why DC Comics can't use the either can't or won't use Captain Marvel anymore.
I don't either, because
Captain Marvel was its history, and everybody knows that it was around before Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and the thing that always got me, which was confusing for me, wasn't the Wizard Shazam named Shazam? Every time I heard that name, I would think of the Wizard. And
that was the idea, was the fact that Billy Batson calls on the name of the Wizard to get the powers.
Right. So, I don't know. But we can do that in a different episode. But also with Stag Shock, also that came out around the time was Batman Beyond. And if you guys watch any of Justice League Unlimited episodes, we would see there was a cross between the Justice League, Stag Shock, and Batman Beyond. So it would be nice to see him come back into the TV world mixed with all the other DC characters.
Well, in that Batman Beyond crossover with the Justice League, they actually had the Justice League of the future that he was from.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the digital comics from a couple years ago, they had Batman Beyond digital comics, but they also put out a Justice League Beyond digital.
And I remember you
comics
showing me a couple
that was
of
actually
those.
It was the Justice League from those episodes.
Was that connected to anything besides just the original series? Was that connected to anything that's going on in comic books right now?
Not currently, no.
Okay.
This was before Rebirth even started.
Okay, that's right. That was at the New 52 time.
This is even, I think, before the New 52 may have started.
Oh, okay.
Depends on most of those runs of Batman Beyond and Justice League Beyond are out in trades now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to get the year. I don't remember. I read them. I have them all on my Comixology.
Yeah, I remember you showing me some of those. There was a time when digital comics were just booming really good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still booming, but when they first came out, it's like, I can get a book for 99 cents.
Exactly.
But that's all we have for Stag Shock or Static.
Well, there's a
being
couple of
there.
Interesting quotes in here. Salim Mackie, who's the co-showrunner for Black Lightning, had a couple things to say about Static. He says, I love the idea of Static Shock, and in success, hopefully, we'll be able to pull other characters in that way. So the way he's talking, it sounds like they've already made this decision, even though mm-hmm. they've not said, yes, they're doing it.
And it's funny that I'm hearing something like this, too, because for the Injustice game that just came out, there was a, I forget the artist, but they released on their Twitter, said, I'm sorry that Stack wasn't able to be on the game, but I already had the concept of art and everything drawn up yeah. for him and released it. And it's like, wait a minute. So Stack's becoming more of a popular character that they want to do stuff with.
Yeah. Well, he also said on the same thing, continuing on what he was saying there, he's hoping to pull other characters in, but so I'm holding out hope because I love that character, meaning Static.
Mm-hmm.
The storytelling is a little bit more political. It's topical and it's grittier, or it's a little grittier. It doesn't mean that down the road there won't be visits. So he's talking about crossing over between the Arrowverse shows also.
Right.
Now, in a... Another part of this article mentions that it looks like the show is going to be a more or it's not going to be as much villain of the week. It's going to be more serialized.
Mm-hmm.
They said think more of like Daredevil
yep.
and less of Smallville.
Mm-hmm. Which I think we need for DC right now. Now, don't get me wrong. I love seeing all these villains because that's really the only way we can see these villains
yeah.
Week to week. And mm-hmm. like, there's so many villains DC has to work with. But also, since we have all this with the Arrow, with Flash, with Supergirl... Give us something a little bit different. Give us some characters in a different light. Legends does that well.
Yeah.
They're not always fighting a different villain week to week. It's sometimes things that's happened in the real world that they go in the past with.
Mm-hmm.
With the Apollo missions, with yeah. Einstein, with
oh,
the
yeah.
wars.
With George Lucas, J.R.R.
Yeah.
Tolkien. And we're going to get into Legends here in a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another quote that they have in here. He was talking about how the show's actually going to tackle some of the politics it's going to tackle is stuff, politics that arise from having a black superhero protecting the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And he quoted here, there's certainly not going to be a villain of the week. I don't want to do that. I really want to explore the characters, even the villains. I think one of the most important characters right now from a storytelling standpoint is Tobias, which I believe is going to be the villain.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do some research
because we're
on him,
not,
too, actually.
We're not having him sort of twist his mustache. His hatred of himself and for himself and for others comes from a real place. So we want to know why he's like that. Then they go on. Well, hang on a second. The last part of the quote is that when we talk about social justice, I don't want to talk... about I don't only want to talk about police brutality, which is actually a hot topic right now. It should be talked about, and this may be somewhat controversial for me to say. If we stop killing each other, you know what? I think that issue right now is way more important to me. Personally, to stop young black people from killing other young black people. Stop young people in general from killing each other is what they really want to focus on.
Now, from everything you just said there, this is why I was wondering when I heard they were making a Black Lightning show, and then I was thinking about Static Shock television show, the animated series. It seems like it's going to be the same thing that's going to happen and the same issues they deal with and they tackle, but instead of him being a teenager, he's an adult. And he's really retired from being a superhero and having to come back to do this instead of being a teenager in school, seeing all these crimes that's going on and having to prevent it as a young kid. The same things were tackled in Static Shock.
Okay.
The gun violence, the people killing each other, because the whole series was about it was a gang that wanted to meet up and have a fight. And it turns out when they did that, it was the whole thing called the Bang Babies broke out because there was gas that got leaked into the air and it messed with everybody's genes and cells and... somehow they would get some type of power.
Huh.
More so if, say you were a smoker or whatever, you would probably either get a fire ability or turn to smoke. Static, Virgil Hawkins, when he was in his house, all he could keep doing was touching things, getting electricity, and shocking himself on his metal pants door. So when he went there, he became Static Shock. It was just something like that they did. But it was the same thing. And the thing that Virgil did was he had a gun on him. Instead of actually using the gun, he threw it away in the lake or in the
cool.
river. So hearing you say that, it's like that sounds like the same thing that's going to happen. So it's good to see Static and Black Lightning on the same show.
Yeah. But well, we were talking about Legends. Let's rearrange these just a little bit. We'll hit the Legends story next.
Okay.
We actually have Billy Zane coming to Legends of Tomorrow next season.
Yeah.
And I am excited when I heard about the name of the character that they're doing here.
And as I said, once again, Legends tackle things that happen in real life people, real life personas
actual people
of somebody.
Out of history. Like last season, you said Einstein. We met Einstein. We went to meet J.R.R. Tolkien. Mm-hmm. We meet George Lucas.
Yep.
Well, one of the legends people, and this man was a legend.
Yes, he is.
That
and
we get to meet in this episode.
And
is,
his name is still popping on out there. This is P.T. Barnum. And I'll let Ken take over this because it didn't click in my head of who he actually was.
Well, anybody who doesn't know, P.T. Barnum, now he was known as a legendary con man, but he wasn't as much of a con man as one of the greatest advertising geniuses of all time. He was the man who started Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus. Billy Zane is coming in to play P.T. Barnum. Some of this stuff, Barnum is known, one of my favorite quotes that I quote to people was from Barnum.
Hmm.
And it was, I don't care what they say about me in the press, as long as they spell my name right. It's the whole concept of any press is good press was from P.T. Barnum.
Yeah.
But go ahead, you got the actual stats of what's going on for this show. They have some quotes about they had a quote. Wait, it's jumping past.
Yeah,
they have a quote about Billy Zane playing this character. There.
Here we go.
Who was this? This was.
Let's see.
Phil Klemmer, one of the showrunners.
He says,
I want
to bring Billy into legends ever since I saw him as a friend in the comedy pilot. I'm not sure what people know about how funny Zane is, although he was cast as him as a P.T. Barnum because we knew that he would always be able to find a soul and breathe in larger-than-life showman. Truth is, Barnum never said, there's a sucker born every minute. He was less a con man and more of a father of modern advertising, as you were saying.
Yeah.
A guy who made things go viral before that was even a thing. Sure, in one sense, he's a villain in our story, but in another, he's just another guy that wants to put good onto a show. Anyone who's worked in TV can relate into that, am I right? Anyway, Billy seemed like the perfect guy to do the task, so... like you say, it goes back to what you're saying. He wasn't really a con man. He might have did things that might have been a little criminal.
Shady. That's back when carnival barkers and...
And they had a tough time back then anyway.
Yeah, carnies and circus guys did everything they could to get you to come into the circus.
Yeah, and they...
I mean, and they would straight up lie to people sometimes. Yeah, that's the way it worked.
I mean, they had to. As some of these things, they would even talk about the people that was in the carnival. The carnies.
Yeah.
They had a bad tone for them. Unless people were going to go see them and pay money to see how they would perform, these weren't people they wanted to hang out with. These weren't people they wanted to see on the streets. We want to see you in the circus.
Carnies were a rough crowd. They still are. They still have to.
Mm-hmm. They have to be, really.
The reputation of a rough crowd.
Yeah, they're outcasts, that's all. But from what they're saying, even on here, it seems like they're going to try to make him a good guy in some light, but he may seem like a villain, too. I feel like by the end of the show, they'll figure out he's not a bad guy. He's had to do some things that he had to do to get to where he's at. I can't wait to see this. They didn't say this is going to be the first episode of...
No. This is just the first guest star they've actually mentioned.
Mentioned, right.
But they did... Some of the interesting things is Zane has actually... Zane was, if you remember, acting with Victor Garber back in Titanic. Victor Garber being Professor Stein.
Oh,
they were both in Titanic together, and this is not the first time that Billy Zane's actually been in a superhero show or movie.
No, it's not. I've been trying to put my mind around what was he in.
He was the Phantom.
Oh my goodness, why did I forget about that? He's been in some other superhero show or movie or something Zane has been attached to. Okay,
so now we have
that's been a long time.
Two new characters we know for this new season. We know Isis is coming.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that last week.
Now
we got Billy Zane doing P.T. Barnum in one episode, but. If you look at the actual poster for the season, it looks like, according to that, Rip and Vixen will be back for next season.
Good.
As well as Steel.
Yep, good.
So it's somehow
but
all
no
of those
Captain
characters
Cole.
Coming back. Yeah, well...
A little tear down my eye. He was one of the best characters on the first season. I want him to come back. But that's really, I think, all we got this week for Legends. There's not too much they're putting out there yet.
Well, all summer we're going to trickle the information about each of these shows and stuff. But what? Just something you just remembered?
It was something I remember, but it was a rumor. So I said, let me not say it.
Okay. Well, the other one we got news this week was out of the Supergirl camp, and it looks like Supergirl is losing the showrunner,
mm-hmm.
but gaining two new ones. But really, this is just a shuffle in the mix. Really, if you look at it, as of right now, Deadline's actually reporting that Jessica Queller and Robert Rovner. Have been promoted to co-showrunners on on Supergirl, along with Andrew Kreisberg, who's still the showrunner, still there. They're replacing Ali Adler, who's stepping away to, and it looks at, as of right now, she's signed a deal with CBS TV Studios to do something there. So, but she's still going to be in Supergirl as an executive consultant. So she'll still be working with the Supergirl crew.
She'll still be in the top lead up there, just exactly. Not the main lead.
So there's three showrunners on this, because, yes, Andrew Kreisberg is still the a showrunner, but he's also a showrunner on Arrow and Flash. He's basically holding it all together with Greg Berlanti. So Adler was one of the—now, Adler, who's leaving, was actually the creator of the show with Andrew Kreisberg and Greg Berlanti.
Okay.
So she's moving on to something else, but that's not the only change. So the two that got promoted up, let me find their names again, Jessica Keller and Robert Robner are not new to Supergirl. They've been actually executive producers and producers for the show since the beginning. So they've been part of the crew since the beginning. And this is just a promotion from them. They're not being added in from something else.
Since they were on CBS.
Exactly.
Okay.
So these guys are, they know the series. They've been working on the series for the past 2 years. And it's just, like I said, this was just a promotion for them. The other major change is it had been reported that Floriana Lima was still going to be a series regular next season. And she actually plays Maggie Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like she's actually stepping down from the series' regular role and is going to be now appearing in multiple episodes to help wrap up her storyline. From another article or from another podcast that they were covering, they got a little bit more of the information that I heard, rumor-wise, that it looks like she's actually picked up another series somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Which so they're going to do something to wrap up.
A lot of actors I've done that's been on this whole Arrowverse.
Yeah. Now, I'm hoping on this that wrapping up her storyline is going to be something like she goes back to Metropolis or something.
Mm-hmm.
And not she's dead.
Yeah.
The problem is, well, the one thing that this is going to definitely do is we know that...
she got proposed to.
Yeah, that Alex proposed to her in the final episode. We didn't see the results of that.
No.
So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes now.
Now, from reading the comic books from years on end... Weddings sometimes don't go good unless you're Superman and Lois.
Yeah. I'm seeing, unfortunately, I don't want to see it, but I'm seeing something happening at the wedding of Maggie and Alex. Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened on Smallville, if I'm correct, too, didn't it?
Wedding? I think it was Ollie and Chloe.
Yeah.
And something happened with their
Doomsday
wedding, yeah.
Came in there and I think screwed it all up.
Yeah.
So it's like, these weddings don't usually go good for superheroes.
Uh-huh. So the rest of the article that they had here is basically just telling what Supergirl is.
Which we already know.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do to wrap up Maggie Sawyer's storyline. But it doesn't sound like it's a final thing. Hopefully it's something that we can bring her back in once or twice here and there as needed. So that was the end of the news stories for this, or the television news stories. This one I'm actually really excited about. We actually have some cinematic news from Justice League.
Yeah, this is something I've been hearing since my childhood, and a lot of you have been hearing. If you're an 80s
or
90s baby.
Well, you've heard this guy.
Oh, yeah, anywhere. He's played on so many things you probably don't even recognize it that he was on there.
Yeah.
He's got a long strand of music scores.
Phenomenal stuff. We're talking about Danny Elfman. Basically, I think about one generation down from where John Williams was.
Yeah.
Because Elfman got really famous in the early to mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on from there, because he did the original
Batman
score. He did the
let me pull him back up, actually.
Music from the Batman animated series. Almost every one of Tim Burton's movies is Danny Elfman's score.
Yes, I was going to say he's there from Beetlejuice, I think. Didn't he do Nightmare Before Christmas, too?
Yeah.
And if you guys are also wondering about this, we are a DC podcast, but this is also another thing he did. If you were born around the new millennium or born in the 90s, you would remember this movie, the first Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
He did the original score for that soundtrack.
Okay. Age of Ultron.
Yeah, another one.
He actually came in and worked with Brian Tyler to do the Age of Ultron soundtrack.
Yep. So
he's been
everywhere.
He's actually replacing Junkie XL, which was supposed to be doing the project.
Mm-hmm.
So, and actually, Junkie XL is the one with Zimmerman that did Batman v Superman, I believe. It was the two of them together.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was. And I think one of them said on Twitter, you know, you haven't made it to the big leagues until you've been doing the same project for so long, they think it's time for you to move on.
Yeah.
And so they didn't take it in a bad way, thinking they're being replaced in a negative content. It's just, hey, I've done this. How many movies have they done for this whole new cinematic universe? They did
the new one?
Man of Steel. And before they also on...
We have three of them right now.
Did he do a little something with the trilogy?
Junkie XL?
For the trilogy.
I can look him up on IMDb real quick.
For the Dark Knight trilogy?
Possibly.
If that was the case, then yes, it's time. That might have been why, to them, it's even time for us to move on to something else.
Yeah. Give me just a minute, I'll tell you.
But just to go on also what Elfman has done, he did Edward Scissorhands. As you say, he did Beetlejuice. He did Pee-wee's Big Adventure, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Alice in Wonderland, The Quartz Bride, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Tim Burton, anything Tim Burton attached, Sleepy Hollow, Mars Attacks, Frankenweenie, Dark Shadows, Good Will Hunting, The Forbidden Zone, Planet of the Apes, Back to School, as we said, Spider-Man, Oz the Great and Powerful, Big Eyes, Avengers, Age of Ultron. I didn't know he did Men in Black. And this is something for you real superhero fans out there. Darkman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Darkman score was amazing. I remember that one.
Oh, my mom used to watch it. I still remember the music and the movie in my head right now. He did Dick Tracy.
Junkie XL actually did the Catwoman soundtrack also.
We're just going to keep on going past that. He also did Terminator Salvation. He did the Hulk, the one that came out in 2003.
Ang Lee's Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Elfman has
and Hellboy.
Geek cred. Yeah, Elfman has great geek cred when it comes to movies and doing soundtracks.
Oh, yeah.
So you've heard him even if you didn't know you heard him.
Right.
Well, he is now going to be doing the soundtrack for the Justice League. Which, like I said, I am excited about this.
Yeah, when I found this out, I was like, well, take my money. Just please it right now. This movie's looking better and better. As I said, anybody's had their doubts about what DC's films have been doing, it looks like we're on the right track now.
Yeah. But moving on.
And I just want to touch on one more thing about him. How everybody was saying the DC universe is too dark, and we got the same tone of the music. It was a little bit more gritty.
Yeah.
As we just named to you guys, all the stuff Elfman's done. Yes, they've been dark movies, but they also had some light in it. Beetlejuice has to be one of the darkest movies I've ever seen.
But it is hilarious.
Exactly. You had fun with the movie. Yeah. So you can have your dark tones and have a lot of fun with it.
Well, you got to think, the one that comes up to me as a very dark soundtrack, but it had the music had fun in it too. Was the original Batman from '89?
Yep.
Because you have all of the dark overtones and stuff from Batman and from
Speaking of that.
But then you get the Joker side and you get the and it is light and fun when you get Joker on
every
screen.
Time you couldn't help but laugh or at least giggle. Also, speaking of that, he also did the Batman animated series, guys.
Yes,
the intro.
Well, he did the Flash live action.
I forgot about that. He did. So, yeah, like we said, he can really go anywhere he needs to be.
Yeah.
So this is good news.
Very prolific composer.
Very. So I can't wait till this movie comes out. I'm going to actually buy the soundtrack, I think. I might have to get that on vinyl.
So, we're blowing right through the news today.
We are.
But,
we got more.
That's right. And then there's more. We actually have comic book news now.
Mm-hmm.
You had the first one.
Yes. This is great.
They've announced we've heard that there's the Batman Dark Knight Dark Knight's Metal were coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have actually some more information on it now.
And also these pictures I can put out on our Facebook and our Twitter, guys, and our Instagram. Probably Twitter and Instagram more than Facebook. But this has been announced this morning at DC Entertainment. This was a couple days ago. Each issue will feature a different concept version of Batman Spawn from the Dark Multiverse. And I also want to say multiverse. I didn't know if this was an Elseworlds story, but it looks like it's just a multiverse. If you open up the first couple of pages, it seems as if it's everything that's happening in Rebirth right now. Then somehow he gets transported somewhere, and we get into a multiverse. And that's usually how these multiverses work anyway. There's a portal or something. But they're going to wreak havoc on Earth, and the news follows.
These actually follow, and it looks like it follows in line with the Dark Days of the Forge that came out last week.
Mm-hmm.
These are actually, spin-off from that.
Yeah, that's why when you showed it to me, I was like, oh, it was a tie-in.
Which, actually, that's one we're going to probably have to talk about next week anyway, because that would be on next week's reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So we may have to throw that one in next week's reviews.
fine with me. We'll have fun talking about it. But to let you guys, give you guys a little insight on this, each cover is a gallery of one-shots of Batman's partners?
Variations
of his partners. Let me just sum it up for you guys right here. You have Nightwing, you have Aquaman, you have Green Lantern, you have Wonder Woman, and they're called into the case as a villain. Even Doomsday's on here. However, the Batman Who Laughs is a little bit of a reference to the 1928 film The Man Who Laughs, which inspired the Joker. But the names that everybody's going to take on is Red Death, The Murder Machine, Dawnbreaker, The Drowned, The Devastator, the Batman Who Laughs, which
and then
on.
Also the Merciless.
So with all these names, you can kind of guess of who, which character is going to be the Dark One. I'm guessing the Murder Machine would probably be Cyborg.
Well, each of these also, the names of each of those is actually a name of one of the books that's coming out, the Dark Batman Metal series. It starts in September 20th with the Batman Red Death number one. That's being done by Joshua Williamson and Carmine Giandomenico,
and
which are right now the team that's doing Flash. So
that's
probably
going to
be your Flash,
right?
Flash crossover.
I was going to say, don't get this confused with the Red Hood, Red Death. This is actually the Flash.
This is Flash.
Yeah.
Then you have September. It doesn't. Someone mistyped here. What's the next? It'll be the 27th. Would be that one. So,
The Murder Machine would probably
be September 22nd, 7th, it'll be Batman Murder Machine number one by Frank Thierry and Richard Federici, which I'm not sure what they're doing right now. I don't recognize the names. The next one after that is October 4th. You get Batman Dawnbringer with Sam Humphries and Ethan Van Sciver.
Yeah, Dawnbreaker. And
which
that's
is
Green Lantern?
That's the Green Lantern team. That's the team that's actually writing Green Lantern right now. October 18th, you get Batman the Drowned, which is Dan Abnett
of
and Philip Tan,
Aquaman.
Which is Aquaman. Batman the Merciless is Peter J. Tomasi and Francis Manapul. And Tomasi and Manapul, what are they writing right now?
I want to say Wonder Woman, but I might be completely wrong.
Give me half a second. Let me look. I'm thinking Nightwing, but let me pull
it. You know, it might be Nightwing.
I know, because Tim Seeley's doing Nightwing. This is a new one for me. That's actually to actually be remembering.
No, it's Wonder
who
Woman.
Writes what? It is Wonder Woman.
Merciless.
Okay.
That's Wonder Woman.
And that's Wonder Woman. And then it's the next one up is November 1st. You get
now
Batman the Devastator.
Now,
and November 15th, you get the Batman Who Laughs.
Now, see, the Devastator really shocked me. The Batman Who Laughs. I'm thinking, well, that fits. It's the Joker.
Yeah.
The Devastator isn't Superman, guys. This is Doomsday.
Is it?
Yes.
Because the Devastator and the Batman Who Laughs doesn't say who the creative teams are. They haven't been revealed yet.
They don't have any issues for Doomsday or the Joker right now.
Yeah.
But this, instead of having Superman, it's Doomsday. Now, this could be a variation of Superman if maybe they mix his DNA with something. I don't know. I have no clue.
I don't know.
But if you have Doomsday, you know it's going to take up your Superman mantle.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have the Joker. Is it the Joker?
Don't know.
Or this could be a Harley Quinn variation, too.
It could be. But like I said, they've not... Well, they know who's doing the books, but they've not revealed who the last two creative teams are.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, by looking at the creative teams for these first couple, you can see who is doing these books. Actually, is there anything else to pull out of this so far? I can look up Frank Thierry and see who he's writing right now.
But these covers, guys, they look really good. They look really scary, too. Especially seeing... This is a guy looking like in a trench coat and pretty long, skinny dude. I'm guessing this is a variation on the Joker, not Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
But all of these look really scary. But the one that's going to blow my mind away is going to be the Red Death and... which one for Doomsday? The Devastator. Anytime you have any Batman or... working with an evil Superman or Doomsday or evil Flash, that's just scary. I'm trying to see what else I can pull out of here. My website's then froze up on me here. By the way, guys, these combos are going to be priced at $3.99, so get your pockets ready. Not too much money. They're not $3.99.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. Batman one-shots will be up to ship in a foil-stamped cover by Jason Fabok, featuring... UV coating in a Dark Knight's Metal issue number one by Scott Snyder. So it will be on sale August 16th.
Okay. Well, they've got all summer they're running these the Dark Days series, which is the setup for this. Because like I said, Dark Days the Forge came out last week as of the time of recording. They also have the other ones setting up is in July. They have Dark Days the Casting and Dark Knights Metal, which is what sets up these series here. So this is going
to
be.
I'm gonna have to go back and read through these, and I think I gotta buy one of the books.
But... Yeah, you said Dark Days Metal's out, Dark Days the Forge is out, and you said you don't have that one yet. So.
As I said, I still wasn't able to get my Batman 24. And if you guys you don't get to a comic shop, I think around like 12 o'clock, sometimes it's like, you can get one. I don't know. But I can always order that. So
we need to stop being lazy and actually send our pull list in.
Yeah, that's really honestly what we need to do.
So, but yeah, this one sounds like it's going to be interesting to see what they're doing with all this.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be probably... DC's winning right now, I think, out of any comic book out right now. Just DC's properties got the best stories.
Well, I know Marvel last month won on overall sales, but that's because they had beginning of Secret Empire.
Yeah, anytime.
The new Secret Empire
gonna,
is what
Not bashing, but I'm not going to go there. DC has better stories, guys. I'm just going to put it out there. They don't have to create something new every other couple months to create sales. They can just make good stories.
Yeah, they do. All the companies do it.
They do, but it gets a little repetitive sometimes when it's just the same thing being done again, something new.
It looks like DC is actually trying to forge new ground somewhere.
Right.
So
sorry if there's any fans out there of another company I kind of got on. But yes, go to your local comic book stores and make sure you pick this up, or at least put it in a pull list and pre-order it. Do whatever you need to, but this is going to be a great read. But next on our list.
Next up was one I found out right before we started recording. I mean, within minutes of recording, I was like, hey, wait, what's this?
And I haven't even looked through the whole thing yet. And I was listening you read over
this
there.
This news broke today on June 19th. This summer, or this fall, we're getting another crossover. Now, there's been a string of good crossovers since the beginning.
I'll say since last
way back,
year.
But,
even,
I remember just
for
this year, we've had the Green Lantern's Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
Green Lantern's Star Trek number 2 was out. Power Rangers Justice League.
And last year we had the Batman TMNT crossover.
Exactly. Well, we've got coming up, DC's working with Dark Horse Comics to put out Wonder Woman Conan the Barbarian. This is going to be an interesting book. It's now the description they have here is the wondrous Diana of Themyscira comes face to face with a Sumerian warrior or barbarian Conan in this new miniseries coming this fall. The two publishers have guaranteed this crossover will draw some fan attention by bringing back fan. Now this one I'm actually kind of excited about. We're bringing back the team that's creating this is Gail Simone. Who is you talked about how Scott Snyder everything Batman goes back to Scott Snyder now. Well, that's Gail Simone for Wonder Woman.
And she's been doing great, by the way. I just want to say if from week to week, I haven't read for like the past 3 or 4 issues of Wonder Woman
she's not been doing Wonder Woman right now.
Okay,
Greg Rucka is, I believe.
Yeah, he is. But I was just saying just how the stories itself been just amazing.
Yeah,
and we've got All Star Batman, we've got the regular Batman series. This is all this Batman going around. And honestly, it's the same thing going on with Wonder Woman right now.
Yeah,
we have the 66 crossover with Batman right now.
I'm reading those digital, the Batman 66 and Wonder Woman 77, and I'm also reading the Wonder Woman Bionic Woman,
and also crossover. She's in Bombshells right now.
Yes,
so it's a lot of good Wonder Woman stories going around right now, and I feel like if you're tied in with that, it's gonna be good. But as you said, she's basically the Scott Snyder for Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen how that's been going on with both properties.
Exactly. Well, she's actually teaming up with a co-collaborator a lot of times. Aaron Lopresti is going to do the art for this, who is also a prolific Wonder Woman artist.
Okay.
The two of them are getting together to write and draw this book. Now, one of the quotes they have here is from Gail Simone. It says, "I love crossovers. I love Wonder Woman and being able to bring the undisputed greatest warriors of the DCU and Robert E. Howard's Hibernian age together for the very first time is a dream come true. A major draw is getting to reunite with the great Aaron Lopresti, whose very favorite things are to draw Wonder Woman and barbarians.
Mm.
It's blades and bracelets and wizards and wonder, and I can't be more delighted."
Forgot about the rope.
Huh?
Forgot about the rope there.
Well, and this is going to be blood. This one's going to probably be a rated T. Conan has been, for years, basically, before there was ratings, it would have been rated M comic books and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it is blood and gore and guts and...
Yeah, the mature readers only.
Exactly.
This just sounds amazing.
They'll tone it down some for this.
Yeah.
But
and that was the thing I was wondering about the Wonder Woman movie. I was like, how violent are you going to get? Because some Wonder Woman books have been pretty... Do you remember the comic book where she stabbed her own eyes out so she wouldn't be blinded by Medusa?
That doesn't surprise me because of some of the other things we've seen recently. Well, remember a couple weeks ago in Suicide Squad where Zod actually uses
his
heat
brain
vision.
Basically.
Yeah, he uses his heat vision to give himself a lobotomy to remove the bomb in his brain.
Yeah, and Wonder, like I said, that comic Wonder Woman stabbed out her eyes so she wouldn't be turned to stone. It's like, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, so Wonder Woman can get as brutal as any other character in the DC Universe.
They do have a description of the story here. It says, the tale begins as Conan the Barbarian arrives on the shores of an unknown land and soon meets the world's most fearsome arena fighter, Wonder Woman. Ill-fated circumstances force them both into slavery as they attempt to free themselves from the grips of the rich and powerful slave owner, Delos. A dark magic descends upon their land, a presence that wants to destroy them both. But who has the might to stop the most talented gladiators who ever existed? And then you go, it goes a little bit of description of the characters. Wonder Woman, everybody knows. It's a character that's been around for over 75 years.
Mm-hmm.
A member of the, or she's a member of the Trinity and the Justice League. Notable icon around the world, but Conan, some DC main character or DC fans, I'm getting going too fast.
Some DC fans may not
some
be
DC fans may
recognized
be as,
with his name.
Yeah, know the literary character.
Mm-hmm. Not the Arnold Schwarzenegger character.
Now, the movies were Conan.
Right.
That was Conan on the screen.
Right.
But
it goes deeper than that.
Yeah, it says Conan the Barbarian, similarly, has long been an important character since his creation set 85 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Dark Horse has actually been publishing Conan since 03. So, and then Conan was very much a pulp character. He was in a lot of novels and stuff.
Yeah.
It was adventure novels. It was basically sword and sorcery and fantasy.
Yeah. There was a couple characters like that come to mind when I hear Conan. There's a lot of characters that had that similar concept to them.
Well, if anybody saw Red Sonja back in
the 80s, what I was going to bring up.
That was a Conan character. Mm-hmm. Something happened with the rights and licensing
that
they weren't able to use the name Conan. That's
no
why Arnold Schwarzenegger was actually in that movie, because he was supposed to be Conan in that movie. And they had to change the character a little bit.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, what?
Arnold Schwarzenegger was in Red Sonja. Remember?
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't.
And he was supposed to be Conan, but
I'm
it didn't
Googling
actually.
This.
Yes.
I did not know that.
He was supposed to be Conan, but something happened with the rights and he wasn't able to use it.
Huh.
Now, we do have another quote in here. It says, uniting the greatest characters
of
the greatest characters of the DC Universe with some of the most famous and notable characters in pop culture is at the core of the most memorable crossovers we've ever done, according to DC Entertainment Editor-in-Chief Bob Harris. Gail and Aaron's series will surely create a new legend for fans and readers to talk about for years to come. So, and this is actually going to be a six-part miniseries that starts September 20th.
Okay, so this is going to come out after the Batman's.
No, this will be right in the middle of all that Batman.
Yeah, I mean the release date.
Yeah, it's after the Batman ones start. Yes.
Okay. Well.
So then we have,
I always want to say I never seen Red Sonja. I thought I did, but that was a different
movie.
That
movie was awesome. You got to look that up. Bridget Nielsen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's basically, she's a female Conan.
I'm just looking at the ratings and the money they put in here. And I was like, oh, they didn't make back everything they wanted.
No, they didn't.
This is like one of those few things of a movie where they don't have the rights to everything, so they can't go all out with it.
In the 80s, fantasy movies were like that. Most of your fantasy, the Conan didn't crush the box office.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great movie, and they made, I think, two sequels to it. But it wasn't the biggest thing that ever hit the box office.
But that was a great movie. I can rewatch. I want to rewatch it after we get done recording. It was just good.
No, pop in Red Sonja. I think you'll like it.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I can get that. Yeah. Conan Barbarian crossover, all I can think really is, what if we would got to see the Conan Barbarian character with Arnold Schwarzenegger and then the 70s version of Wonder Woman on the same screen together? That would have been awesome.
You want another interesting just a little tidbit with Conan. This doesn't have to do with DC, but Conan actually had toys that actually were not called Conan.
What were they called then?
Mattel was making a line of Conan toys, and then when they saw what the movie was and how it was an R-rated movie, and you've seen Conan, it's a hard R movie.
Yeah.
And while they were already getting ready and gearing up to make toys, that they repurposed quickly and created He-Man.
Really?
The He-Man toys were originally supposed to be Conan.
I believe that 100%, yeah. But I would never put two and two together. It makes sense.
The whole line of He-Man was started out as Conan toys. Then they found out, oh, wait, this is not a movie for kids?
Kids, yeah. We need to tone this down a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly.
Wow.
So they repurposed it. That's why you notice the bodies are hard, but the heads are all squishy.
Yeah.
That's why they switched out the heads.
Okay, and then I'm thinking, okay, yeah, and then the outfits and the attire,
uh-huh.
That makes perfect.
They're all barbarians?
And now this goes back to them having their little beef of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Dolph Lundgren. It was like, hey, you know you're knockoff of me, right? Because he played He-Man back
yeah.
then.
Actually, the story with that one, I have a friend, Will Thrasher, which I'll give him a shout-out here. He actually, I got to get the recording of him, but I guess the He-Man movie. The reason the Masters of the Universe movie was so strange and actually didn't do... It started as a different movie also. Originally, I guess it was a Fourth World movie. A DC Comics Fourth World movie.
Hmm.
Now, do you remember what the Fourth World was? It was Jack Kirby, but that was... The Fourth World was all of your Apocalypse and the New Gods.
Oh, okay. That's what originally,
that's the world of the New Gods.
Okay, Fourth World.
It was originally supposed to be a New Gods movie.
Right, slices.
And something happened, and they didn't work the way they liked it. They retooled the whole thing, and then turned it into... That's why it looks so weird for Masters of the Universe.
Oh, man. I mean, I was telling my mom about that. I was like, as a Master of the Universe movie, I don't really classify that as a real Master of the Universe movie, because it felt too... Something was wrong
yeah.
with the movie, just in my opinion. I'd rather watch the cartoons any day of the week than yeah. watch the movie.
Actually, the early 2000s reboot of He-Man was pretty good.
That was a great cartoon.
That was good.
That's what I grew up on, and then once I started watching that, I remember I would get the toys, and in the pack of toys, this was in VHSs, were still mm-hmm. a thing. Once you opened up a toy pack, there would be a VHS tape of maybe like 3 to 5 episodes
the original He-Man's
TV
a little
show.
Hard to watch.
Not for me, really, yeah. I guess, since, like I said, as a kid, I was like, oh, here's the new cartoon, here's the new toys from the new cartoon.
I loved it when I was a kid, and I've seen some of the episodes since then, and it's a little hard to watch, but I still watch it for
yeah.
nostalgia.
Yeah, I guess that's really what I was watching for, because after watching the new one and then the original one, they were still He-Man, they were still
yeah.
the same characters, same everything, really, they just were drawn a little different, mm-hmm. updated. We got into... Oh! One more thing about that before
okay.
we go on. There was a crossover, guys, if anybody wants to go out there and get the books of
oh,
He-Man
yes.
Master Universe.
I have the whole series on Comixology.
Okay.
I love that series. Because for a while there, and as of right now, as far as I know, DC actually still owns the Master of the
yes,
Universe
they do.
He-Man license.
Yes, they do.
And they had a series. I told you about this.
Right.
And they started...
And I bought a couple issues. I didn't finish it.
2009 or 2010, somewhere in there, they started. And it basically, when they started the series,
and
it was a continuation of where He-Man had left off before. Where, at this point, Skeletor had won. And all of the Masters had their memories erased, including Prince Adam. So he doesn't know he's He-Man.
Okay.
And Skeletor is ruling on the throne of Grayskull.
He's got what he wants.
Exactly.
Also, when you say in about 2009, 2008 or something, sometime around there, anybody that's watching our Facebook Live feed, you'll see the toys we have up here of the DC Universe Classics. They also had a line, once they got the rights to He-Man,
yeah.
they had a line where each, I don't know, every month, every week, they would put out a cross or verses between a DC character.
Well,
or
it
major DC character. Mm-hmm.
What
like
it is
Superman,
those...
you would get a He-Man with Batman, you get a Man of Arms, stuff
well,
like that.
The comic books of DC Universe He-Man crossover
mm-hmm.
was actually to sell those
the
action
toys,
figures.
That makes
the toys
sense.
Were made to go with the books.
I've heard that so many times
yeah.
before of them making sales for the toys for the sake of that. So that
well,
was...
that's the whole... All of the cartoons in the 1980s were created to sell toys.
Yeah, and most of the time, correct. Now, if I'm wrong, guys, let us know on the Facebook feed, podcast, comment on iTunes, let me know. The reason why they canceled Young Justice was because their toys were not selling. Show was doing great, but their toys were not selling, so they canceled
it. I think part of it also was they were getting a little bit too much crossover with gender. Like, too many girls were liking the show, and
yeah,
they're like, wait a minute,
yeah.
this is not supposed to be a girl show. We need to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that anybody watching the show is a good thing.
Yeah, you're getting views.
Exactly.
Man, we got into another
yeah,
realm
there's
there.
All kinds of stuff there. Well, we've got one more story, I believe. Is there only one more on here?
I think so. This is the last one.
Okay, this is another one that you found like right now. With
this literally got posted an hour before we started to record, guys.
Another book that's coming soon.
Mm-hmm. If my page wants to move, which it does not.
Come on, come on. I jumped down a lot farther.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up.
I didn't read through this one yet, so it's like I can't.
I might
even
have
help
to just sum it up from what I've read because it's really acting funny right now, guys. Well, and Okay, I'm going to leave it right here. Now, this has to do with Superman, what's going on right now with the Button series, what's going on right now with the Watchmen and everything. Now, since we've had the whole rebirth, and even before with the New 52, we've seen a new Superman, and it's like, this isn't the same Superman we're used to. Something's happened. Then Rebirth comes out, we get the same Superman we were used to with his characteristics. And then in the past couple of books in action and Superman books, we've noticed that there's been a cross that's happened, and it's like they've never ever even pay attention that there was a difference between a New 52 Superman and what's going on right now. Well, what's going on with the Watchmen, we know about Mr. Oz. We know about Ozymandias. Now, a lot of fans have speculated that they're the same character, but we don't know that for sure. Well, in Superman issue, Action Comics issue 987, we will finally get the reveal of who Mr. Oz really is, who the guy is under the hood. As I said, a lot of speculation has pointed to Ozymandias, but we don't know yet. But with what's going on with the Watchmen, we can maybe assume this is what's going to happen, since we did just see Dr. Manhattan pick up the button recently.
Well, you don't know for sure that's Dr. Manhattan. All you saw was fingers.
You know. And we saw somebody explode in the first Rebirth book, but who knows? It might not be Dr. Manhattan. but we're pretty sure with everything that's going on with this multiverse that the Watchmen are going to play a huge part in what's going on right now, and it's kind of scary. I did read another article this week. I didn't put it in here because it wasn't nothing that we already had covered, just a little more mention. What's going to happen with the story of the button? Well, not the button, the clock. What was that, the Doomsday Clock?
The Doomsday Clock, yeah. That's coming in November.
What's really going to play the biggest part, if anybody remembers the Watchmen comic book and the movie, Dr. Manhattan lost his humanity, really. He became more than what most humans are.
Okay.
Now, he was a human that seemed like he was becoming a god. And to most people, I know you were saying you don't like the way they look at this, but Superman's a god trying to become a man.
Yeah.
The story is going to be basically about, at least a part of it, is going to be about how Superman might be able to show Dr. Manhattan his humanity again.
Okay.
And who else to better to do it than Superman.
Exactly.
To give you hope. So I think that's going to be a really great story that they're going to do. And as I say, guys, we're going to find out who Mr. Oz is in Action Comics 987. My computer's going a little slow here. I'm going to give you a release date.
Yeah, mine's not moving. There we go. That's actually coming in September 13th.
Thank you. 399, lenticular cover. We're going to get another one.
Well, we're going to get a... This is going to happen over two books. This is actually 987 and 988, both.
Mine's not that far at the time. There we go. So you can get your regular version for 299. You can get your lenticular cover for 399. So this is something else they're going to be doing once again with this crossover with the button. It seemed like anytime there's a crossover with a button, we're going to get these covers.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're going to get that for Doomsday Clock, too.
Probably.
I can't wait. And finally, we'll get to reveal this after years on years of speculation.
Well,
so,
they actually
finally already
have the solicit out for the description for these two books. And the first one, in 987, it's The Oz Effect, Part 1. The agents of the mysterious Mr. Oz begin to move as the Man of Steel works to stop the chaos they unleashed in Metropolis and across the globe. So that must be what's going to happen between then and now.
And then
It says, but when Mr. Oz steps from the shadows... his identity rocks the last son of Krypton to his core. The story that began in DC Universe Rebirth number 1 begins to end here.
And then for the part 2 that comes out in issue 988, The Oz Effect Part 2, as Superman struggles with his ramifications of knowing Mr. Oz's identity, the mysterious figure origins as a long road to Superman's doorstep finally revealing themselves. So there's a lot more to come after even issue number 2. Yeah. Well, not just issue number 2, part 2.
Well, another one that I'm interested in all this stuff is, where is Tim Drake?
You've been asking this for a while now.
A couple weeks ago, Batman says, we got to go get Tim. He's alive. How does he know this? They didn't show that. Everybody assumed in the button they were going to talk about this.
Yeah, he was on the cover. He was on the cover.
But did it get cut and then they forgot that they cut it or what?
I have no idea. I feel like they put him on the cover just to let you know he's still tied into it, but we don't know what the heck happened to him. And we also got to remember, Batman doesn't know if he wants to be Batman anymore.
Exactly.
He's still struggling with that. So right now,
Does he want to be Batman or does he want to be a husband? We'll get that in a minute.
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't.
We'll get to that in
I did
just
not
a minute.
Think about... We'll get to that. That didn't even play part. In my head, I'm like, well, how's this fall into place? That's probably why.
Okay. That's part of it.
Think about your son, man. I know he's not your real son, but, you know, he's Robin.
Let me get these in order, because that's actually the end of our news stories. Did you have anything else you wanted to cover on that?
As I said, I talked about that button thing that happened. I found out this week. That's it. Yeah, I think that's it for me.
Okay, well, that brings us to our reviews from June 7th, 2017.
Now, let me pull these up on the drive here.
We have the books we chose, really, none of them have huge ramifications across the whole universe for the entire book.
No.
But they have parts of them have huge ramifications. Like, the first one we're doing is one that has basically rocked the universe right now, because this is actually a lot of the mainstream people were talking about this.
And
the
this
news
is why,
sources and stuff.
And this is why I haven't been able to find this book since... are we going on the third week now?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's not my local comic book store. This thing sold out. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And I kind of got spoiled for me, because I wanted to know why did this thing sell so good.
Yeah.
Once we get to
the
end of this,
guys. Well, now
we
know why it sold so good.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you guys that's hearing this might know by now, but... We'll get to that by the end of it.
Yeah, we have Batman number 24. And we start off basically with Catwoman sitting there, and you get Batman and her talking, or Batman and someone talking, but you're seeing Catwoman put on the Catwoman gear.
Mm-hmm, with all her cats around her, of course. Mm-hmm.
And you find out Batman is actually talking to Gotham Girl.
And she seems to be in a stable state of mind right now.
Exactly. Well, the Psycho Pirate took the fear away.
Mm-hmm.
The fear that they had added.
Yes.
So the two of them are talking, and she's... trying to get Batman's advice, should she continue to be a superhero, even though it'll kill her?
Mm-hmm.
Because her powers, as she uses them, drain her life energy to use them. So she's trying to get his advice. Like, would you continue to
be Batman?
Be Batman if you know who's going to kill you. Now, we know that's a yes for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And reading this, you look at the way they...
And I'm going to say this. We know that's going to be a yes, but after what's happened in the Button series, we don't know, because Batman's not for sure.
Exactly.
As fans, we know Batman's always going to want to be Batman, but he's struggling right now.
It's interesting, because if you look at the way Batman's being drawn here, he looks like a grizzled old veteran.
Yeah, he's got his whole 5 o'clock shadow going on. I don't think he's shaved, honestly, since the Button.
I don't know. But they're sitting there talking, and she's trying to get this information from him. And he tells her the whole time, you got to live as long as you can, but you got to be able to live with yourself also. Can you actually be a normal person, even though you have superpowers, and know that you could help people? Basically, mm-hmm. is the idea he's coming across.
Yeah, it's like knowing that you have the opportunity to help people. Do you want to actually do that, or are you going to just hide back saying, hey, I could, but I'm not going to do it because of my life force?
So, and it's basically her and him trying to talk whether or not they can actually, she's trying to pull out of him, what should I do? How should I do this? And it's her choice, not his.
Yeah.
He's trying to stress that to her. That this is your choice, all the way across here. But then you switch over to Batman and Catwoman swinging around, and it's still Claire and Bruce talking back and forth, while you see Catwoman and Bruce, flying around through the city, just hanging out. And then, she says, Gotham Girl, still, what I need, what I need, I can't, or...
She's saying, what I need is, I still need some advice, I still want to be a superhero, but also what's happened, you know, to her family, her brother, she doesn't really have anybody, all she does have is Batman and the Bat family.
Uh-huh.
She does still need him to train her and still learn how to use her powers, which I think is funny because he needs to probably call up Superman and say, hey, help her.
Well, actually, that's where we're at on this next section is he tells her, fine, if you decided you want to be a superhero. So she's like, okay, well, what do I do now? He says, well, first, you train.
Mm-hmm.
He has a guy in Europe that can actually start training you and teach you how to fight without powers.
I meant to ask you, who's the guy in Europe that he's talking about?
I'm not sure who he's talking about. But he's going to send her to someone he knows in Europe that to train her how to fight without using her powers. Because if she doesn't use her powers, it doesn't drain her life force.
Right, and you don't always have to use... As Superman, we know that. But he's even said, if I don't have my powers, I can... Or if I... still have my powers, so I don't have to use them all the time. I can use them in other ways.
Exactly. Well, that's Superman's another one. That, and I've said this for years, and I heard it a couple other places this week that brought it home, that certain characters, like Superman and even Captain America,
mm-hmm.
they do the right thing. If they had no powers,
they would still
help
the right thing.
People.
Yep.
They may not be superheroes, but they would be helping people somehow because they're doing what they do because it's the right thing
to
do.
And that's what makes them...
That's why you don't have to have a dark origin. You don't have some tragedy in their past that caused them to do this.
Yeah.
They're doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Superman, if he's told correctly, does what he does because of the way Jonathan and Martha Kent raised him. They raised him, this is right, this is wrong. You don't let when something's wrong, you don't let it stand if you have the power to do something about it.
And that's the thing, as a kid, I was just confused that time, because as a kid, I know most superheroes had a tragic background. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, Superman did lose his whole planet.
But they never used that as motivation. That was never his motivation.
Right.
Captain America, if you watch that first Avengers movie, mm-hmm. he got the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah.
He didn't have a great home life when he was growing up or anything, but if you watch... He doesn't use that as motivation.
No, he doesn't.
He knows that he can...
I just need to be good.
He knows he needs to help
people.
For
the sake of being good.
Yeah, he wants to help people.
Right.
He wants to help the little guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he does everything he does to get into the army and all these other things.
Yeah, because... And this is what I know, me and you talk about why they changed the origin of the Flash, too, because he was like that, but eventually it kind of shifted it. But mm-hmm. my two favorite superheroes growing up was Batman and Spider-Man. Uncle Ben dying for mm-hmm. Spider-Man, and then Batman losing his family, his
exactly.
two parents. It's like, well...
Marvel did that a whole lot more than DC, because Wonder Woman, she's not a hero because something tragic happened in her past.
She's good.
Fighting for good. That's who she is.
And we've seen that from the movie.
Yes.
There was no tragic mm-hmm. thing that happened. She's just like, wait a minute, this isn't right. Why isn't anybody doing anything to stop this? Well, I'll do it. I'll take it in my hands to stop it.
Green Lantern, Hal Jordan. There wasn't some tragedy that made him decide to be the Green Lantern.
No,
that's
he lost his father, but
he's cocky.
Yeah.
Because
he's pilot.
A cop. He becomes a cop.
Yeah, and when we're talking about cops, I see why they said we might make a outer space Lethal Weapon movie.
Yeah.
But
but moving on off this tangent.
We've been doing this tonight.
He's going to send her to go get trained.
And you have to say what he told her or what she needs to do with the whole up and away.
That was back before we got to here.
Well, this is when she's talking about, I still need somebody to train me, and she says, I can't do this for someone else, I have to do it for myself. She says, I'll be a superhero, up and away, or you know about that, or not. He's like, up and away.
Or
just,
you know that, or up and away, or you know that, but not.
Yeah, it's like, So that's why when I was reading this, I have a man, and then he's saying, Europe, I was still always going to say I have a man in Metropolis that could show you. But it's funny when we said the whole up and away, because all we thought was Gotham and Gotham Girl were Superman, Supergirl from a different world.
Check out that ad.
Nice. I have that book upstairs, but that looked like is that a statue?
That's the designer series action figures.
Oh, man. That's probably going to cost me arm and leg.
So they've got that figured out with Claire, and then you get to the point. Now, this whole time, they've had...
The dialogue back and forth.
Dialogue back and forth of them talking, but you see Batman and Catwoman flying around through the city, and...
Or not flying around, more jumping
swinging
really
around
good.
And, yeah, doing as they do.
Mm-hmm, acrobats.
But, and then you get Batman going down, talking, is like talking about when he first met her, and, how she has stolen a diamond.
Now, also, you missed a little bit of what really was being said back and forth. What was being said back and forth between Batman and Gotham Girl is like, do you want to be Batman? He's basically saying, yes, I do. She says, well, are you happy? He's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
He says, you think I want to be Batman because I want to be Batman? I feel I need to be Batman.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it. And every day I put on this costume, I'm trying to find my happiness.
Yeah.
And she's basically telling him, well, if this isn't working, you can still be Batman and still be happy. But you have to figure out what you need to do. And
exactly.
If you still do want to be Batman, that's your choice, just as my choice to be Gotham Girl.
Mm-hmm.
That was the dialogue they've been having back and forth. And now once Catwoman and Batman meet up on the rooftop, he talks to her, look at her in her eyes. He says Cat, she says Bat. He says he's been trying to, basically what he told Gotham Girl, I've been trying to find happiness ever since the day I've been Batman. And I remember the day you were on that boat and you stole that diamond. She says, no, you met me on the street. He says, yes, but you stole a diamond off of a boat, and I got it back from you after that, and I've had it for years.
Yeah, he bought the diamond as soon as he got it back from her.
Yeah.
He took it back, and then...
Bought it the right way. He
exactly.
got it the right way.
And he's had it ever since.
And she says, what, why'd you do that? He says, I know everything I've been feeling ever since the beginning. I needed it. I needed it, and I need it just like I need you. And he takes off his mask, pulls her mask back, and says, I'm so scared. She says, Bruce. He says, Selena. He says, drops down to one knee. I love you. Will you marry me?
Exactly.
And that's Batman proposing to Catwoman. Now, if anybody... I haven't seen this for a while. I didn't read the New 52 too much, so maybe it happened in there and they retconned it. I don't know. But I know last time I had seen something this serious with Batman Catwoman was... when did this come out? Was it 2007? 2006? I don't remember. It was mid-2000s. Batman told Catwoman who he was in the whole Hush series. Whole Hush series was, it's been a mixture of stories, but one of the biggest parts in that Hush story was Batman and Catwoman falling in love. And nobody really in the Bat family trusted her too much, except for Nightwing said, you know, I don't really trust her, but if she's going to make you happy, Bruce, and if you believe she's good, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And so they know he wants happiness and he wants to find happiness. And hopefully in here he might get some luck, but we know how Batman Catwoman's relationship
is. Well, the more that we're reading these back and forth, is like, it's amazing how many people actually know, like, Superman and Batman's identity.
Yeah.
Everybody in the world, we talk about this with the Flash and Arrow universe for TV,
mm-hmm.
and how everybody knows their identities already, right. except for like one or two people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the comic books, it's looking more and more like that too, because there's stuff like, it's an unwritten thing that everybody pretty much assumes that the Joker has already figured out who Batman is.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they
actually,
in
no, actually, I think it, he, like, so I wasn't a big
depends
New 52
wrote,
reader.
Depends on who's writing him.
But
when.
Joker found out who Batman was in the Death in the Family. Not part two, but the second story of the Death in the Family that came out for the New 52. I'm pretty sure he did. He knew who Bruce Wayne was. He found his family and everything.
Well,
but he said
just
he just
like
didn't care
because he's because wasn't it Heath Ledger
Batman
Joker
that
figured
he
out who Batman or said he didn't want to know who Batman was because that's not fun.
Right. Well, this is what basically this Joker was saying in New 52 was, I know you're Bruce Wayne, but I'm not going to like, hey, everybody, it's Bruce Wayne. He's like, well, what's the fun in that?
Yeah.
Sorry, but I think it's good that everybody, because when I was a kid and I was watching all this stuff with them hiding their identity from the people that they trust and care about, it's like, why are you hiding your identity from them if you care and trust about them this much? It seems like you're getting into more trouble with them, not just them being mad at you, but their lives are in jeopardy even more so by not knowing what's going on.
See, I like the idea of a secret identity.
To a certain extent.
At this point, it's like, at this point in actual who we are as a society, it's harder to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
Because originally, the idea that it was, that they were, you're doing a secret identity to protect the lives of the people that,
you care
your
about.
Loved ones and stuff, that was cool. But now it's like, I don't know, the way the writers seem to like to flip that on them.
Well, as I said, for me, it just never made sense. It's like Aunt May, I'll give for example, Peter always thought that she hated him.
Yeah.
In his Spider-Man persona. But I'm pretty sure if she really loved him as Peter Parker and got to hear what he actually does on a daily thing and a nightly thing, and be like, I don't want you to do this, but I don't hate you because I love you. Now that I know that they're one and the same person, I can't hate the person I've been had in my house for, you know, my whole life, your whole life. So just little things like that, and it's like that with the Flash, the Arrow, Batman, he has Nightwing, he has Alfred. Imagine him keeping that from Alfred.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it would just make sense for you to tell him. But I'm glad to see that they're actually laying out their identities. It just makes more sense.
So the next one up is Superman number 24, which do you have it there? Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I this never, is actually, I look at that. I didn't pay attention to that.
The color scheme is very similar.
But, and actually for the Batman, it was similar too.
Yeah. A lot of, what is that? Sapphires and indigos and violets on the covers this week.
Hey, well, this is the thing they were running with. Maybe they ran out of ink.
Superman number 24 is a continuation of the story we've had. That it looks like they're slowly but surely wrapping up the whole idea that Superman and Lois and John are in Hamilton County.
Mm-hmm.
And we know from Action Comics they're getting ready to move back to Metropolis. So, but we get to, now up to this point, because we've not been covering Superman, we found out that, what was her name, Kathy?
Yeah.
And her grandpa, who are neighbors of
which the Kents. Which we finally find out why they were a little weird.
Yeah. We find out that they're, the two of them and many of the other people who live in the town are actually aliens hiding on Earth.
Now, this alien right here, too, I just want to actually, I know you guys can't see, I'm sorry, but this alien on the first page, isn't that the one that, is the same species that was with the whole Frankenstein story?
It's possible.
That literally it looks like the same exact race.
Well, what's funny is you see Kathy in these first couple pages.
Mm-hmm.
For a minute, other than the green skin, I was thinking Saturn Girl. Flip over to the first page. If not Saturn Girl, someone else. She almost looks, it's like a Brainiac skin color.
Skin color of Saturn
But
Girl.
It looks like Saturn Girl.
It does. You said Brainiac skin, really.
So,
this could be from the Legion of Superheroes.
Well, since we know Legion's coming at some point.
they're
going to bring them back in there.
Oh, yeah. They're back in already. We just
don't know
when they're going to go full out with it.
Yeah, well, we know Saturn Girl's going to be showing up in Supergirl at some point.
And we already got the Legion in Justice League.
Yeah. So, we're going to see the Legion again.
Mm-hmm,
which Legion's always been fun.
Always. I wish we'd seen more of them in recent years.
I wish we would have got more of the TV series back in the mid-2000s
mm-hmm.
when we had Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. Yeah. That was a great show. Vicky and I both watched that. It was amazing.
And hey, guys out there, I'm just going to tell anybody that's a hater. Stop hating on Bouncy Boy. It makes sense.
On Bouncy Boy?
Yeah. I heard people
remember him.
He's looking like that chubby guy, and then he goes to a ball and bounces. Yeah. And it's like, it's a stupid power, but as a character, you got... You
That's what was cool
him.
About Legion, is the fact that everybody had a power, and there were some strange and weird ones, but they were still superheroes.
Yeah, and I liked them. Now, I'm not going to say some of them were ridiculously stupid, but...
Many of them were ridiculously stupid, but hey, it doesn't matter. They were still able to be used.
It fit. And for the time where the era came out in, it just fit the whole, I guess, little campy thought that was back then.
Well, we find that the this is a flashback, and it's talking about how Kathy and her grandpa are running from the Krug, which is another alien race. And they find out that peaceful solutions always sound nice, but real truth and justice, they're one with fang and claw. So that's what this guy is telling them. There's someone telling this group of refugees that you have to fight back. You can't just run and try to be peaceful. It doesn't work. Then he lights a cigarette, and you know from previous issues of this comic that it's a character by the name of Manchester Black.
One of the best characters in Superman's universe, in my opinion. That's what got me actually more into Superman was the Superman Elite. This was a character I've never seen Superman deal with. This is a Batman character, if I gotta be honest with you. This is somebody you would think would come out of God. Picture Constantine being bad with that attitude and different powers. That is Manchester Black. He's from England. He smokes his cigarettes, chain smoker. He wears the long trench coat. He literally is to me Constantine if he was bad.
Okay.
With different powers. And so when I seen him fighting Superman, it's like, this isn't a villain that would even be in Superman's world. This is a completely different. For me, he falls in the top five best Superman villains.
Well, this here you find out he's actually on the ship with these refugees, and he's going to basically teach them how to fight back against the Krug or these people that are chasing them.
And also I want to say, Manchester Black's known more as a villain, but he reminds me of Red Hood, too.
Okay.
He's bad, but he's not doing everything just for the sake of, like, a Lex Luthor or a Metallo. He's doing it still to try to help people, but it's in a way... You shouldn't do it like that.
So
there's a different way to do this.
It's more of a Suicide Squad type superhero.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he is. If he was to join the Suicide Squad, that would be a perfect place for him. I'm surprised he hasn't been in the Suicide Squad yet.
Okay. Probably because he hasn't been caught.
And he might have. I was going to say New 52. I don't know. But, yeah, if he was going to join the Suicide Squad, that would be his home.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, a lot of this is wrapping up or moving ahead in the story because this is actually chapter 5 of Black Dawn.
I didn't know we were getting this far. I didn't pay attention to this.
Yeah. So a lot of this is more wrapped up in that story, but there was some interesting stuff that happened in here because you see they bring it to now and Manchester Black taught them how to fight. All of them are in their human skins and talking about how – let me see.
Which one are you looking for?
I'm just looking to see exactly where we're at in the story. But they're talking about how they have to fight because these guys are showing up again. Then you get at this point, John has been kidnapped by Manchester Black.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being shown all these battles that are happening between Superman and these bad guys, which are Manchester Black calls his new elite.
Yep.
So it's his new team he's putting together.
Yeah, the elite's been around since Manchester Black, I think, has been around, but it's been a different team. He's always been there, but it's always changed up.
So Superman was fighting to find John the whole time, and then he goes and Lois gets injured. And he stops the fight and turns, grabs Lois, and takes her to the hospital instead of continuing to fight for John. So, but as soon as we get to the hospital, we find Lois wakes up and tells him, okay, she says, okay, now you've done what you had to do for Clark. Clark, you're done. I'm at the hospital. I'm safe. Clark is done. Now he's Superman.
Yeah, and she tells him that, and he does his up and away trick.
And he takes off to go find John. And first thing he does, he goes to Mr. Cobb's house, which is Kathy's grandfather, and picks up the house.
And beholds, it's tunnels.
Yeah, in the basement, there's all these tunnels, and you find John shows up behind him. He's like, wait a minute. Oh, good, I've got you now. It's okay, son, I got you now. And John starts cowering away from him.
And all you hear is somebody in the background say, hello, mate.
Exactly.
It's Manchester.
Manchester Black. And Superman automatically starts firing his heat vision at him, which stops right in front of Manchester Black, and he lights his cigarette with it.
I'm trying to think, is it telekinesis? Is this what...
It looks like it, because from there, out of nowhere, he's like, yeah, mate, me. And then all of a sudden, Superman gets blasted away from him.
Yeah.
So it looks like a telekinetic blast.
But yeah, Manchester's Black abilities is mental. So this is another character why it fits so well for Superman. Because Superman has so many abilities, guys, but he is not psychic.
Yeah.
So if you can mess with Superman's mind, which actually is the best way to get to Superman, well, you see.
Well,
what
yeah,
happened.
I think and that makes sense that it's all mental abilities because Jonathan is standing beside him watching him do this, and
in
he
fear.
Blew Superman about a mile away through a barn into a tree that's on fire.
Yeah.
Which, from the beginning of Superman and Rebirth, if you remember, Jonathan, the first time he lost lost control of his heat vision when it first came in, he set that tree on fire. Well, this is that tree that he set on fire.
Oh,
the,
man. Yeah,
he,
that's right.
Barbecued
I forgot
the cat.
About that. Yeah, the cat. That was sad.
So
I forgot then, about that, though.
The next one is kind of cool because it's, in Manchester Black, Superman's whispering something, and then Manchester Black says, well, what are you saying? And Superman just says, sick him.
Mm-hmm.
The next page, you get Crypto attacking.
Yep. And I'm surprised Manchester's cigarette was still lit at that point.
Yeah.
He calls him you bloody mutt, and it's like, John, now get away. Just get away from him. Superman, now see, this was another character that Superman, even in the books and the animated series I saw, I thought Superman was getting ready to kill him.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And then right here, he just said, I could kill you. And he says, if you were, you wouldn't be, I'm sorry, wait a minute. He says, you were always good for a laugh, Clark. And it's basically because I know you would never do that. You would never step beyond that boundary line.
Yeah. Superman has one major rule, just like Batman, you don't kill.
Kill, yeah.
So, but they're fighting back and forth, and Superman keeps telling John, stay close.
And that's who's Goldie is. This is making more sense
yes.
now. Okay.
And then Manchester...
There's a lot of dialogue in here. Which one?
Yeah. Well, he's talking about how John's like, it says, but you stole my powers. And Manchester says, well, just I juggled around some synapses and neurons and
mm-hmm.
such.
Yep, he didn't
just
steal
them. Just a little
them.
Bit of a tweaks, and all of a sudden you don't have powers.
Right, he didn't steal them. And that was
yeah.
one thing Manchester was always good at.
It looks like Manchester actually just did the mind juju on Crypto, because now he's petting Crypto.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love Manchester.
Yeah. Manchester starts messing with John some more and brings up the bones
dead
of
cat.
Goldie, the dead
yeah,
cat.
Yeah, I didn't recognize that on at first. I'm like, what the heck is this thing? Okay.
So and then he says, no Ugh. More accidents. You will be elite.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see
Frankenstein popping up here.
Yeah.
Well,
a bunch of people that have disappeared recently, because remember, Batman, in this story, part of the story, Batman has disappeared, because
yeah.
that's what they were, how they found the stuff in Cobb's barn.
Right. When he
Batman
was
has disappeared.
That. And Damian's down there, too.
Damian's, basically, Manchester pulls him, Superman down into this place underground with all these bodies of people that have been kidnapped recently. And, they fight, and you, like you said, there's Frankenstein, the Bride of Frankenstein, all these people we've seen the last couple months through Superman
mm-hmm.
That have basically disappeared because they're in the town. The Quantum Rift. Where are we at? Oh, there. You get, finally, Cobb's says straight up, wait a minute. You're a monster. I knew you were a monster. Leave the kids alone, because he, Cobb and Kathy saw what happens to Jonathan. And how Jonathan's not acting right. And then, so the Cobb and Kathy actually blast Manchester with a mind blast again. And Manchester turns on him. But as he does, he takes his attention away from Superman. And at that point, Superman breaks free. But he also breaks everybody else out.
Bride of Frankenstein, Damian, Batman... They're all free now.
Exactly.
But,
and first thing Batman says when he wakes up and looks around, he just looks at Superman and says, bad guys in black, right? And Superman says, as always, like, okay, now we're good. But then you see, turning around, or as they come at it, they look, and all of a sudden, you see Jonathan with this group of aliens behind him, but Jonathan's all in grays and blacks.
Yep, and now he looked like he might be the leader of that fleet. Of the new elite.
Yeah.
And he tells them, testing 1-2, I said. And then Jonathan tells him, get out of my head. Superman, help me. But it doesn't look like it's going too good. Manchester's using his mind control still on John. And he's making him do what he wants him to do. Not what John wants to do. And he says the only thing he can see, even though he's listening to Superman, he says the only thing he can see is black. Manchester says, you are much more... And Jonathan looks like he starts to float off the ground. He's getting ready to charge at Superman and all his friends. And it says, let's put those, what is that? Let's put those, the hypothesis to test. And
then
well,
you get Jonathan leading the aliens to attack.
Yep.
And the next episode or issue is Superboy Black.
Yep.
So it looks like we got a totally mind-controlled Superboy with all of his powers. Yeah. All the ones that he has doesn't have yet.
And that's the great thing about Manchester Black. He can stop your powers, or he can make them, or enhance them.
Yeah.
And now he's doing that to the son of Superman. So we'll get to see this little face-off here. But remember, we do have Damian and Batman there, too.
Mm-hmm. So the next one we have on the list...
Now, I was going to say, these we can touch on a little bit of what really happened. Not too many...
Yeah, these had a couple
of
things
too big of
an event
that happened in here, but...
Well, one that we didn't have on there that I got to bring up with last week's issue of Arrow, Green Arrow.
And I haven't... I'm trying to hold off on... I don't want to spoil anything for myself.
It was Green Arrow number 24. The only major thing that happened in it was... they've been having problems with... remember, you at least knew that Oliver Queen doesn't have control of Queen's Cassava.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's right now everybody thinks he's dead.
Yeah, that's been a while
ago. Well, in this issue, he actually comes back from the dead and decides, you know what?
Comes back from the dead.
they pointed out that the entire city, the entire history of Seattle, has always had a queen in the center of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically comes, quote-unquote, back from the dead to take over... As they've redubbed the city because of everything that's happened, and the city's been destroyed. The Space Needle was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But they redubbed the city as Star City. So there's no more Seattle in DC Comics. Now it's Star City again.
Just kind of how like we have a mixture
exactly.
between what Metropolis is and Gotham.
Mm-hmm. So that's – in DC Comics, a lot of the places in DC Comics have been are always – analogs for other actual cities.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Gotham, a lot of people compare it to Gotham, the dark sides of New York.
Mm-hmm.
But more
Detroit
and Chicago.
Yep.
Whereas Metropolis is more New York.
Mm-hmm.
Coast City is a lot of times an analog for LA.
As we were saying with Times Square when we were reading that Wonder Woman annual, they were in Metropolis, and like this looks like something out of New York Square, but it was in Metropolis. Mm-hmm. Also, you have the Statue of Liberty version of Statue of Liberty in Gotham.
Well, also, well, no, not well in Gotham in the TV shows and stuff. I don't know if they've shown that on.
Maybe it's not in the book.
I know Gotham is on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah,
but I know Metropolis was always called the Big Apricot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an old.
I don't remember
thing.
That. Oh, okay, I was like, that's
old
not
school.
Familiar.
So, but moving on, we actually do you want to do Deathstroke next?
Yeah, I was just like I said, we're going to touch some parts in here. Now, this is everything that's happened after the whole Titans issue that we had with the Lazarus contract.
Well, this is Deathstroke number 20. Now, this one we'll probably have to cover Titans and Teen Titans also because they're epilogue. They're all, the three of those are epilogues.
Also, I found out there's a spoiler. No, I'm not. You know, no, something really juicy, weird. Stuff happens in the New Titans book.
Ah, cool.
I did not expect that happening.
Do I have the New Titans book here yet? Give me just a moment. I have a stack of books that I got last week when I was out of town. It didn't come out yet?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
This was something I saw online. I spoiled it kind of for myself.
Ah. Okay.
But anyways, we're back with Deathstroke, and he's going back over the past, the things that's
remember,
happened.
Remember, as of the end of the Judas contract, though, Deathstroke has decided Deathstroke is dead.
Deathstroke,
he's done being an assassin and a mercenary.
Now, I don't know who this character really is that is from his past, but he always looked up to Deathstroke, and he wanted to be something similar to Deathstroke. But he started to fall in love. He found a suit. He was becoming Dr. Icon. But once this happened, he took the powers of Deathstroke, took his blood to think it would help him. But instead, as we said, this has been an ongoing thing with comic book characters. If there's a certain serum that some characters got, it works for that certain character. When any other character tries to take it, it's not going to go good for them unless they've really been called into the duty of doing it. Well, once he did this, he became like this hulking creature, breaks out, and everything that was in Deathstroke's blood really messed him up. So now he's mad at Deathstroke for infecting him. It's funny how these things in this Deathstroke books, they keep blaming stuff on other people and it's really their fault. but now he says he hates him, he wants to kill him, and he's after him. He's coming from the dead, so now he will be.
Before we get too far, that Icon suit that we're seeing there looks very similar. It's the same suit that Jericho's wearing now.
As now, right.
And it's actually the same technology. It is a, they mention here, it is a gravity sheath. Or it has, it is a gravity sheet, the same as Deathstroke's costume is now, also.
And do you see some Star Wars, toys back there in
where
this
we
picture
at?
Right here? Look.
I'm not there yet. Let me switch to it.
Look at that.
You
see a Death Star.
Oh, yeah.
You see what's on her?
That's a Sith Infiltrator.
So, I thought this was kind of funny. But now, I still trying to remember her name, guys, I'm sorry, but I'm going to call her the second. Oh, then you got an anime. And then you got a little anime toy there. Sorry, these are the Easter eggs I didn't notice before, guys. But this next chapter is the C word. Now, this is... what is her name?
I don't remember right off the top of my head.
Tanya.
Tanya? Okay.
Now, she's been featured in New 52 with the Teen Titans, and she's been heavily featured now with Deathstroke. And that was even once before they had the rebirth. She has been a mainstay in the Deathstroke books.
Okay.
She's having some female issues right now, but Deathstroke comes there to give her a little pet, and she's saying, you need to stop right there. I'm not forgiving you for anything that you've done. You've humiliated me. He says, you're a Christian. You should forgive me. Isn't that what you guys do? Forgive?
Yeah.
She says, stop that. He's knocking on doors. She's waiting as she's screaming right now. And she's not in the best of moods, but he convinces her to open up the door, and she takes the little pet he gave her. It's like, all right, fine. I'll think about forgiving you. Next week.
I think when you read this, you read it a little bit weird. Because when you first read this next section, you thought it was the nun actually talking about herself. She's not.
Oh.
She's reading his sign. She's interpreting Joseph's sign language.
Okay, in the first. Okay.
The first panel of this next chapter.
I thought that was the
chapter
first panel
the
was actually her
yeah.
talking until I saw
no,
Jericho.
The first
okay.
panel of the next chapter is actually called 28 Days.
That makes
and
more
it,
sense.
It says, and it's a penguin. Or yeah, penguin. I've been watching too much Blues
Too
Brothers.
Much, yeah.
But, it's a nun talking about, it says, my name is Joseph, I'm an addict, I've been sober for 28 days, and this is coming from a nun,
mm-hmm.
which you
thought that
the
was
the first thing you thought.
But then when they went to Joseph, I'm like, well, okay, now I see all these other bubbles going towards
yeah.
him, now they're speaking for him, but from the beginning, it wasn't the nun speaking, it was the nun speaking for Joseph, because Joseph... He can't speak, as
exactly.
we know, if he never really has.
Anybody who doesn't know, Joseph is Jericho.
Yes. And if you guys know Teen Titans, you know how deep back and those roots go with him and Deathstroke.
Yeah. Well, he's Jericho, or
he's
Deathstroke's
son, yeah.
so.
But
he's the one that survived.
Yeah, the good son.
Yeah.
And I think that comes back up in this book, too, the good son. But he says he's an addict, he's got ghosts and things he's done, things he's hide, things he can't change, things that's been haunting him and giving him migraines, and he's ended up with symptoms instead of dealing with them and causing them. He's hurt people, he's hurt his own family, and when he says that, he remembers him getting to a fight with his sister Rose Wilson, the Ravager, and he said, I nearly killed my sister, and as we've said in the past book, with the whole Titans, Lazarus contract, Rose was in the hospital, and they thought
yeah.
she was gonna die, but Deathstroke was there for her still, trying to become a better parent. He says, my own sister, I did this to her, but she forgave me. Accidents happened, my sister said, and it was an accident, and it was, it was blitzed on my, oxy. And I've got good because I have excuses, but they're not the best. My dad slept with my fiance, and then he killed her. Maybe he doesn't really know. I was trying to kill him, but as of everything I could change, it would be everything. Then we go to another panel, and it's Deathstroke meeting, waiting outside for Jericho to get out of the meeting
with the car door open.
Mm-hmm. He is trying to be, like you said, I'm not Deathstroke no more.
Yeah,
I'm putting this away behind me. I'm trying to be a better parent. I'm trying to be a better person. This next story I'm going to skip by wasn't really nothing too big, but we do get to another chapter of family. And Rose gets home. Now, I don't know who this guy is that she came into the door with, the friend.
I don't either because I don't read a whole lot. Hosen is his name. So.
If you guys in the comments know about it, let us know. If on Facebook Live, please.
Yeah, we don't read a whole lot of Deathstroke usually.
But she's back home and everything that's happened with her... coming from almost a near-death experience from what her brother did
well,
to her.
Well, actually, that's her husband. It says right there, I married you to take off my husband, or my dad.
Oh, well, there you go. And then she says, am I a mermaid with you saving me if everything? And he says, seriously doubt anything you've been thinking about was this. It doesn't have to be like that with you thinking about him. I testified against him. Or do you remember that? You married me for you to protect me, for you to be protected from him. She says, I married you to trick off Slade. It wasn't just to protect me. I thought that he was calling a bluff and I might have something to take up and touch and get pregnant or something like that. But I think I should know there was a lie down that didn't work. After all, just things that happened. I had my skull fracture after my own brother did to me. He opened it up. And then you see, now, as everybody knows, Rose has had white hair, just
mm-hmm.
like Slade. Well, she comes home after surgery and everything she does. She pulls off her... white hair because it's a wig she has on. She still has all the stitching in her head with all the staples, and she just sighs and says Joey, which is her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to the good son, once again. On the plane, Jericho and Slade are talking. He says, I'm proud of you. And then we get Jericho. Now, how is Jericho speaking this way? Mental ability?
If you look, Slade has the phone in his hand.
Okay. See, this... I'm not used to this. Mentally
texting. Remember, that's the way Jericho talks now, is he can actually mentally speak through technology.
Unless there was sign language back in the old Titans book, or unless he was able to tap into somebody's body and talk through them. These green bubbles are kind of throwing me off. But he says, you almost destroyed the timeline with everything you did with your obsession. Even though you wanted to save your family, there could have been a better way to do it. Like, maybe what's going on right now. And he says, Joseph, you are, your name is biblical. And he's like, what? Then he says, everything he's done, he lost a son while he still had a good son with him. It's still about trying to save what he did in the past. And Jericho and him are still having this conversation. And Slade tells him, maybe if I took a break from doing everything, kicking each other and everything, well, better late than never, I suppose, right? He gives him back his phone. He says, it's for you. Somebody's calling him. It's David. And he says, what are you worried about? Now, the guy that's calling him is the one that has this vendetta against Slade.
The guy that got super huge.
Yeah, and he wants to kill him.
You find out that this is basically Jericho's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they've had a relationship for a while. That's where Jericho got the suit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the thing of that.
This story right here wasn't too much, but we find... Tanya trying to get on birth controls. Now she's at the register trying to sign up for all this, and it's really awkward for her, and who comes beside her?
Well, that's because Tanya's underage right now. She's only 16, but she's emancipated. The problem is now she has to carry paperwork with her everywhere because they're looking for an adult to sign for this.
Right, and then here comes Slade right behind her, and he says,
hey, I'm her dad, I'll sign.
Yep, is there a problem here? Always looking out for her, even though she doesn't want it. Mm-hmm. He says, once he gets down the street, he says, I know you want to be a superhero, Tanya. That's all you've been trying to do. She says, I am a superhero. He says, well, half of a hero, three quarters at best. And they're getting into a little argument of it, but he has a proposition for her. He says, I'm trying to change, Tanya, and I would like for you to help me do this. And she's trying to figure out, what the heck are you talking about? You're not a man of peace, so where are we going with this?
Mm-hmm.
Now we get back, and we see all these different suits of Deathstroke that he's had over the years. What's the bad guy's name right here? That's Jericho's boyfriend, or maybe even ex-boyfriend at this point.
Sherwood is the one that they said.
He's getting off a bus, and it looks like he's in the cave of where the Slade cave, I would call it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting angry and more upset, and he says, all the faces I found on him, all the things he's put on, all these fronts that's been upon him, there's never peace upon him at all. And now, with all these stripes I have against him, I just want to kill him. Now we get to Deathstroke, and he's in, like, the...
He's a different type of lair.
Yeah, he's in a different type of lair. He says, labs, gyms, living headquarters, libraries, everything we've needed. We need to know it's time to begin it. And now you get Rose, you get Tanya, you get Jericho, you get Wintergreen. Is this his ex-wife, too?
It's possible. I don't know.
Next issue is Deathstroke...
Defiance.
The Dark Titans.
The Dark Titans.
Now, I've heard of Dark Titans before, and like I said, the earlier comic books I read, the Dark Titans were... They were still bad. They were a little better, but you didn't want them around.
Yeah.
This team looks more like something you could actually depend on. I have a little bit more stronger faith in this new version of Dark Titans of Deathstroke. Yeah. He is trying to change. So we'll see what happens in the next issue. I'm really interested in this because this is a different take on the Dark Titans.
You may have to start reading Deathstroke again.
I think I am.
Just because Deathstroke's tying back in with Titans again for a minute.
And the thing is, Tanya, Rose Wilson, and Jericho, all three of them were Teen Titans at some point in time.
Exactly. That's because a lot of people, a lot of modern or newer fans and stuff, a lot of times have been introduced to Deathstroke through like Arrow,
or
from the Batman books and stuff like that,
or from before that. As I've told a lot of people this when I was a kid. Well, we were kids. I'm like, do you know who Deathstroke is? They're like, I have no idea who Deathstroke is. I'm like, well, have you watched the Teen Titans show? They're like, yeah. Do you remember Slade? Yeah. That's the same character. Yeah. So you are familiar with them. You just didn't know that was the same one because they couldn't use Death in the show at the time because it was a kid's show.
That's why a lot of times he was also called the Terminator.
Or the Terminator, too.
But in the TV shows, I don't think they ever called him the Terminator.
Well, that was a little legal issue that happened back in the 80s
which was funny because Deathstroke was created, and Deathstroke the Terminator was created before
the movie
was.
But, you know.
Aww. So, well. But the next one we got up was the last book we're going to review, and this one's Green Lanterns, number 24. Now, Lanterns has been awesome, I thought.
Yeah, and, always is, and I still would like to get my tattoo of the Green
Lantern. We're not going
to
go heavy in
there
this
wasn't,
one.
There really wasn't much that happened here besides just the Green Lanterns having a good Green Lantern moment.
Well, no, we have
with everybody.
Simon is getting further training by Kyle Rayner still,
mm-hmm.
and
all
Jessica is trying
Kyle
to
Rayner
earn her lantern.
Green. Yep.
She's still what they call a white circle. I mean, she doesn't have a lantern symbol on her chest.
Yep.
And she's being trained by the nicest, sweetest guy anybody's seen, Mr. Guy Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
So the first
the
one
cult's
is,
right now.
Yeah. And basically, the two are fighting their trainers and learning and training. And that stuff really doesn't do much. But we do get some backstory on the origin of the lanterns. Because we go to a billion years ago on the planet Mars, after we get the training sequences there,
that happened.
We see some white Martians around fighting, and this they're basically bullying a kid who actually ends up fighting them off and killing all the people that are bullying him. Then you get 10 years later, and you see a guy dressed, looks like Martian Manhunter, but he's a white Martian.
Yes.
So, and he's fighting and taking guys down and basically fighting against bullies still. And one guy is running away, and
they have a pass.
Exactly. They find out, wait a minute, this guy ran away before because the guy who's beating him up was that kid he was bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a ring shows up and says, Zakarn Zran of Mars, you have the ability to overcome great fear.
And there is a crisis in the universe, and you are needed.
Exactly.
Turns
he
out-
was the original set. He was one of the original seven lanterns. Now, Volthoom, we know in this, was also what a lantern before the original seven.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only lantern back then.
Yeah.
So, and remember, he's in Raimi's body, and Raimi was the guardian who actually created the rings.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as of right now, they've asked Raimi, who they think is Raimi, to do the, or they've asked who they thought is Raimi to figure out why the rings are not finding new bearers right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with it. Well, Volthoom wants to get his ring back.
Right, and that's what...
In order to do that, he's got to get the original seven, because his ring was destroyed to build the original seven rings. He does find one ring that was actually detected that he can find. And we find out the major takeaway from this book is Jessica Cruz, Green Lantern of Earth,
has
one of the original seven rings.
Yep.
Moving on from there, we go back to the fights back and forth.
And they're really just training sparring sessions.
Sparring sessions.
Between Simon and Kyle. Mm-hmm. Then we go back to another
one. Kyle is teaching Simon. Simon is teaching Kyle. Or, yeah, the other way around. Kyle is teaching Simon how to be creative with his ring.
Yeah, because he's not. Yeah. He had a gun on him for the longest.
Exactly.
So. And this guy's an artist, so of course he's the most creative one, in my opinion, of the Green Lanterns.
Exactly.
Which I think you even said.
Yeah, and well, that's when they originally made Kyle Rayner, created him, they made a promise that he would never make the same construct twice.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's an artist.
And at that point, I really liked the beginning of one of the beginning splash pages. It was Kyle fighting. It was Simon sparring with every single version of Kyle that has been in the comic books.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. But then we go back with Simon. I'm not sorry, not Simon. Jessica and Guy going at it, and she's actually doing pretty good. She's
exactly.
on her own,
and she's basically learning how to keep her willpower going. And she realizes something Kilowog told her, that willpower never goes away.
No,
you just gotta
find
believe
it.
That it's still there.
Not find it. You just gotta remember it's there.
Exactly. So they both graduate. They have the graduation ceremony with the now six lanterns from Earth. Mm-hmm.
Now, and also a question:
and Kilowog.
Did her hair get shortened?
You
see that?
Maybe a little bit, but not much.
Okay.
She's been about that length.
Oh, okay.
But you get the seven of them sitting around a table, then it's like, oh, wait, you guys, we still have jobs. We have a job to do, right? Or I hate to be a Killjoy joke, or John Stewart says, but you guys have a job to do.
But see all this right here, Ken?
Yeah.
That's why I want tattooed on me.
Ah,
that
the
oath.
Logo?
The oath.
Yeah, the oath,
it
yeah.
With the logo, so that's it. But, of course, Kilowog makes his own... They all make their own cups
of
beverage. Of beer. And I don't know how a construct of beer would taste, but, you know, it's a Green Lantern ring, whatever.
Exactly. So, but John tells him that, hey, wait, we found a... I have a job for Simon and Jessica. And they basically have to... Raimi has told them that the only way he can fix the rings is by going to the Vault of Shadows, is what it's called, where some of the original rings were at. To try to work with some of the original materials he had that were have been hidden for a billion years.
It's not really Raimi, so this is a bad thing. This is like giving the devil the open door to do whatever he wants.
Well, he also says he needs a security detail.
Yeah.
So he requests Simon and Jessica.
Yeah.
Now we know this, that Jessica has one of the rings he's looking for.
Yes. So
and that that's the end of this book, and it's the next one is Journey to the Edge of the Galaxy.
The more I look at this cover, I just gotta laugh at that.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah, Simon in the background. The cover of this book has Jessica knocking out Guy Gardner, which hundreds of people through the comics have always wanted to do.
Yeah, and you see the Green Lantern Simon emblem on his cheek because she hit him so hard.
Simon's in the background has the face like, "You did what?"
Like, "Woo woo, hit him, girl." The cover just made me laugh when I picked it up. They had a variant cover for us. I'm like, "No, I'll get this one."
Yeah. So, but that brings us, that's the end of our reviews for this week. And that means...
it's time to visit a certain store.
Exactly. We only have one thing left to do. And that sound means it's time for Comic Shop Pull List for this week. Now, the Comic Shop Pull List for this week is for June 28th, 2017. And this week, as every week, is the pull list is brought to you by the Shazbots. That's their song, The Comic Shop. Okay, you had the wrong one in here. Okay, it's the 21st. Sorry. Okay. This is for June 21st.
Little typo there.
But remember, the Shazbots bring you the pull list every week. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook, and check them out at shazbots.com. Let them know that DC Superpower sent you. The first book we have on the list
I want to get this All-Star. Oh, wait. Isn't All-Star
first?
No.
Well, I have Aquaman first, but that's fine. I'll get Aquaman, you get All-Star. Aquaman number 25. Is the first on the list here.
Okay.
And it is Underworld Part 1. Now, this is actually the first book from a new artist on it. And if you've seen any of the pages, you actually have a preview of this book on the drive that you can put up some of the pages. The artwork on this is beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, man. It looks like he's just literally underwater flowing. It looks great. It really looks great. And as I said before, it's my theory. He has the long flowing hair with the beard again, and I'm thinking this is because of what we're going to get with Jason Momoa.
It's possible. So, but the Underworld Part 1, in this extra-sized anniversary issue, former terrorists have replaced the Atlantean police. Crime lords control huge swaths of the kingdom. And a deadly undersea arsenal is trained on the surface dwellers. All is as King Wrath commands. And yet, whispers persist of a rebel in the slums of Atlantis, a hero with the potential to change the world. A whole new era of Aquaman begins as master storyteller Stepan Sejvic, that's done Sunstone and Death Vigil, joined the series writer Dan Abnett for Arthur's boldest and most harrowing adventure yet. And as I just said, art is done by Stepan Sejvic. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. And Dan Abnett.
Nice. And our next one is All-Star Batman issue number 11. First Ally Part 2. Batman races to track down his new nemesis before another murder rocks Miami. But with old secrets revealing unsettling truths about his closest ally, what dark accords will the Dark Knight make in order to stop true evil? Art done by Raphael Albuquerque and written by Scott Snyder.
Okay. Next up is Batman number 25. The War of Jokes and Riddles Part 1. Don't miss this. Now, there's a lot of 25s this week, and they're all going to be exercise huge ones. They're all anniversary editions. It says, don't miss this exercised anniversary edition or issue. In his own words, Bruce Wayne narrates a harrowing, never-before-told story of the Dark Knight's greatest failure and the horrors it unleashed. In the spirit of Year One and the Long Halloween, prepare to see a side of Batman you've never seen before. Get in on the ground floor of a classic Batman epic in the making. Art done by Mikkel Janin, and it's written by Tom King.
Next, we have another Bat family member, Batwoman issue number 4, The Many Arms of Death finale. Batwoman's been following the trial of Deadly Weapon's Monster Venom while simultaneously trying to discover what became of her lost lover, Sapphira. But what happens when those two roads meet? And how does it all connect to the death of Batwoman's mother? A terrifying new threat is unleashed on the world when the true nature of many arms of death is revealed. Art is done by Steve Epatay and written by James Tynion IV and written by Margaret Bennett.
Okay. The next one up is Green Arrow. Broken Arrow Part 1. Hopelessly divided over Oliver's role in the rise of Star City, Green Arrow and Black Canary do the unthinkable and break up. While Dinah starts a resistance movement in the former Seattle Underground, Ollie's been driven out of the city he sacrificed everything to protect. And that's only the beginning. The next major phase of Green Arrow begins with this oversized anniversary edition. Art is done by Otto Schmidt and is written by Benjamin Percy.
Nice, nice. And then we're going to have another green one here.
Mm-hmm.
Green Lantern's issue number 25, and this is another anniversary issue, so this is going to be a little... What is this another one? Yeah, this
yes.
is... Yeah, the anniversary
All
issue.
Of these are 40 pages.
This one is not... Oh, yeah, it is. There we go. It took a little while for my computer to load. Okay. Here we go, guys. Lost in Space Part 4. In the extra size anniversary issue, Simon and Jessica adjust to the new status quo. While Vahum's schemes advances as he impersonates a lost guardian, with access to the central power battery at the secret of the universe with his fingertips right on it, will the first Green Lantern finally achieve his ultimate goal?
Not the first Green Lantern, he was the first Lantern, in general.
True. Art done by Daniel
Enriquez.
Enriquez and Robinson Rucka, and written by Sam Humphries.
Okay. Next up, we get Superman number 25, Black Dawn Part 6.
Good.
The extra-sized finale to Black Dawn reveals the villain tearing the super family apart and destroying everything Superman holds or the Man of Steel holds dear. Once again, I'm reading faster than my eyes are moving
faster
than my brain.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Art is done by Various. Also, Doug Mank and Patrick Gleason, and is written by Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi.
Nice, and this is something else for the next description, features our two Green Lanterns. Justice League issue number 23, Only Human, Part 2. The One Earth movement spills first blood, Green Lantern, Simon Bass, and Jessica Cruz are forbidden from using their power rings while Superman himself is in prison in an alien's only guild.
Gulag,
thank you. A planet rages as Batman and the remaining Justice League members race to unreveal the conspiracy behind One Earth movement before the world tears itself apart. Art done by Tom Dierick and written by Tom DeFlanco and Paul Polymer.
Okay. We have four books left. The next one is Super Sons number 5, Battle in the Batcave. The battle with Kid Amazo leaves John and Damian's friendship in ruins as the boys decide their partnership isn't working out. It's a rumble between Superboy and Robin like you've never seen as the boys rage through the house Batman built. Art done by George Jimenez and written by Peter J. Tomasi.
And next we have Nightwing, issue number 23. Blockbuster, part 4. It's an all-out crime war in Bloodhaven, and Nightwing must confront an older enemy if he wants the hope of any peace. What has he discovered through the reveals of the truth behind Blockbuster more shocking than what he could have imagined? Art done by Marcus Tau and written by Tim Seeley.
Okay. Next up, we get Trinity number 10, All Along the Watchtower part 2.
That's a nice name there.
The Justice League Watchtower is infested. The world's greatest heroes have been infected. And as their HQ hurls to Earth, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are faced with the difficult decision of destroying the Watchtower and their teammates to save Earth. Art done by Francis Manapul, and it's written by Francis Manapul.
Nice.
And the final comic for this week.
And that's the one I did not have.
You don't have Harley?
If it loads up. Still been trying to load. There we go.
Okay.
Red Roses Part 2. Harley Quinn issue number 22. Red Roses Part 2. Poison Ivy's back in town, and she'd like to patch up the friendship with Harley that seemed damaged in the Bahamas. But sadly, the poor Red... I'm sorry. Poor Mr. Tool. Ivy's got something, some strong opinions on, and his courtship of Harley. And in Harley Loves Joker Part 6, this is still going on in Harley Loves Joker, huh? Harley is sure she's got a foolproof plan to get back to Mr. J's good graces, but when have Harley's plans ever ended up in a way she imagined? That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Art done by John Timms. Backup art done by Jay Bone. That name right there always gets me. Brett Bilvis. And variant cover art done by Frank Chow. And written by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palamani.
And the backup story was actually written by Jimmy Palmiotti, and Paul Dini's still writing.
And Paul Dini's going to stay on this. Anything with Harley Quinn, I think he should stay on. Just me saying. Even the video games, he was on there. And that was a big part of Harley Quinn of recent years. Pause it. Got two honorable mentions here.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those. I didn't have them on my list. You're going to have to read through those because I don't have them up.
That's fine.
I forgot. Yeah, we were talking last week. We did the first two of the DC Looney Tunes crossovers. Well, mm-hmm. We have the next two this week.
Yep. Oh, man. I haven't read them yet because of time, but I cannot wait to read these. I might read those tonight. I'm going to do something tonight with comic books. Our last two issues, these are some honorable mentions, guys. If you want to go pick these up, these are another crossover that DC's been doing. But this is the Lobo and Roadrunner special. Wile E. Coyote travels far and reaches space to hire Lobo to hunt down and kill his greatest nemesis of all time, the Roadrunner. And when the Coyote and Lobo are after him, the Roadrunner knows if they can catch him, he's through. And the bonus Looney Tunes backup story features a DC character with stories done by art done by Bill Morrison. We have no idea what those are, but as I said, art is done by Kaylee Jones and written by Bill Morrison. Now, the next issue is Wonder Woman Tasmanian Devil Special Number 1. Not since 12 Labors of Hercules has a Greek warrior faced a great danger and a destructive parallel as the Tasmanian Devil. In bonus issue, and a bonus backup issue, Looney Tunes backup story features a DC character with story done by Tony Bernard and art done by Ben Caldwell. And the main story and art are done by Barry Keatson and written done by Tony Bernard. So this looks pretty good. And also, I want to say the cover art is done by Jim Lee. Look at that.
Awesome. So,
those are our two little honorable mentions. Tasmanian Devil, it looks like it's going to take place maybe back in time with Wonder Woman?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
But I can't wait to see what these backup stories are either. So we're going to get more than what we expected.
So that actually brings us to the end of another issue.
And then, yeah, there we go.
So let me turn this down to the speaker so it doesn't get picked up too much. But Super Friends, thanks for hanging out with us this whole time. Let us know what you think of what we've been talking about. Remember, as of the beginning of July, we're going to switch over and start doing all of our shows, the live shows, the Watch Us Record, will be on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So go over to YouTube Live. We'll have the DC Superpowers Podcast YouTube channel up and running. We don't have anything on there now. The channel's there.
Yeah.
But we haven't done anything with it yet.
We got to do some work on there, so we're giving ourselves a little bit of time before we actually post anything.
Exactly. So, but other than that, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know where they can find us?
Guys, you can find us on Twitter at SuperpowersDC, on our Instagram and our Facebook feed. You can find us DC Superpowers Podcast. That's simple. Look it up and listen to us. Listen to our lovely voices. And for my personal usage, you can find me on my Instagram, HowlinAtWolf. You can find me on Twitter, VYellow, and Vernon McWayne Moore for our Facebook.
Okay, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm just Ken Rose. You can also find the show at the Tangibound Network at tangiboundnetwork.com and the Weeby Geeks Network at weebygeekspc.com. You just gave out the email, DC Superpowers Podcast at gmail.com. Send us an email.
Please.
Tell us what you think of how the show's going. We've gone 61 episodes.
And if you guys got iTunes, got an iPhone, it's really easy. I just got me an iPhone, so I know how easy it is now. All you got to do is go to an app that comes with the phone, click it, type in DC Superpowers Podcast, and give us a listen, give us a subscribe. And, you know, post some comments, please.
Yeah, leave a ratings or review. We're always looking for those 5-star ratings are awesome. But just let us know, honestly, what you think about the show.
And as we said, we're still trying to do it. It hasn't been done in a while. But if you guys can, we'll pick some comments out from the first top 10. Pick one out. And we'll give you guys something. I mean, look at this. We got toys. We got hats. Box.
Exactly.
Whatever. You know, something.
We're planning, like I said, once we get ratings and reviews coming in, Every multiple of 10, we will give out a free free comic. Not digital, we'll get your address and actually send you real comic books. So we're building up a small box of them already.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what you're going to end up with. You may end up with Rebirth Special number 1.
Who knows, maybe.
I know we have a couple of those sitting here. We've got a couple of other ones that we're going to give out.
Superman issues.
That's right.
No.
So leave us a rating, leave us a review. You may be the one we choose to send a comic to.
And before we end this, I just want to say, guys, we were talking about the Dark Knight Metal. I'm going to put some pictures out and let you guys see everything of these dark heroes and even Joker being on Batman's side. You never thought it would happen, but Batman's going to be the bad one. Also, Doomsday and Batman working together. Never thought that would happen. I'll show you guys some pictures and see if you guys get a little eerie vibe from it, too.
Exactly. And also, we're going to put up some of those new Aquaman artwork from the new artist on Aquaman.
He's flowing underwater. That's really what it looks like. The hair, the beard, the everything. The artwork's designed like the artist literally went underwater to draw this.
Exactly.
It's great.
So, and with that, Super Friends, thank you for, I'm going backwards here on myself. Vernon, thanks for hanging out this week.
Anytime.
And we'll see you next week.
Yes.
Super Friends, thank you for hanging out, and we'll see you next week, too.